welcome new listeners to the Todd Glass Show. Before we get going, here's some stuff you should know. To tell if it's a bit or the truth from Todd, if he says potato salad or swear to God, those expressions are comedic, little darling. If Todd means the truth, he always says to George Carlin. And on the topic of bits, let's erase any doubt. Todd's almost always joking when he says, edit it out. The intro goes long, cause Todd's so big-hearted. Other podcasts end before his gets started.
The intros are recorded on a phone, but don't worry. The audio of the show is at a higher quality.
You know the Podcasters Association voted the Todd Glass Show a number one. So welcome to the show.
I know what you say. I don't really care. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It's just the day I was born. I mean, I'm not being negative about it. Just, I don't make a big deal about my birthday. Shut up. Shut up. All righty, listen, everybody. It's your birthday, okay? It's done. Now I made a big deal about it. Aristotle, I'm going to ask you something right off the bat, because this Sunday, 2 days from now, is the Pod Festival. Podcast Festival here in Los Angeles. Can't people go on and press some promo code and the show gets something from it, I guess? What do we get, a quarter? No, they do us right, actually.
Use the offer code Todd to get $5 off.
Let me tell you something. This Podcast Festival, if you're on the fence about going to it, you should go because it's going to be fun. We're the last show. Our guest is Eddie Pepitone. Soon as our show's over, boom, that same room turns in. They turn it over in like 10 minutes. A band sets up. There's food. There's drinks. It's awesome. So go. And if you can't go, you can live stream it. And I think Aristotle already told you what to do. Go on, special codes. You save some money, blah, blah, blah. All right, good. Moving on. I think that's it. Today our guest is Jake Adams. I mean, Jake Weissman. Jake Weissman, and also Steve Feinarts. Oh, he's going to be so mad I didn't say his name first. Alrighty. I think that's it. I can smell those chicken strips all the way over here. Really? You know what it smells like? Nick Leap is eating cold, deep-fried chicken strips, which taste delicious, I'm not going to lie. But it smells like, you know, in lunch meat, and somebody brings a sandwich, and then you open their bag where the bologna sandwich was in, and it smells like belched up bologna. That's the type of smell he brings into this house. Like he's belching up lunch meat. I should get a bottle of Clorox and pour it over his head and those chicken strips. But first I'd eat one of them. Come on, everybody. You don't have to act like it's just because you get a little love.
Happy birthday.
All right, Aristotle, roll in the show whenever you want. You should have rolled in the show already, Aristotle.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
What's this?
I want, for myself, not to share, a bundle of dandelions covered in Ethiopian garlic sauce. Leftover cake from Mr. T's 8th birthday party served on a kerosene-soaked plank of cedar. I want a half dozen goblets filled with salamanders dressed as the cast of Friends. I want 7 Happledutes. You can't find those. They don't exist. I want 3 steaks blackened with Sharpie permanent markers. I want 3 5-gallon buckets of sour cream, non-fat, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I want a plate of seared rabbit meat dipped in muddy hummus and encrusted with crisp honey flakes, imported from Japan. I want a mound of raw pizza dough.
Ooh.
Toppled with a toddler's dirty diaper.
Oh.
I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, now it's the start of the show.
Wow, it's going to be fun.
I don't even know where to start, but every week, Jake asked me, he goes, you ever just not feeling it? Half kidding, but I was sort of go, no. Who cares?
If you don't fucking call me back this time, then don't call me ever again.
Well, it's a real show. I have people that, celebrities, they call it. Jake Weissman is here, everybody. Jake, we got a special intro song for you. You've never been on the show before. We have 2 for you.
Fantastic.
Joe, lyricist Joe, who does most of them, and then Lynn. And I think you're going to like the second one. We're going to do it until your smile and then your head explodes and steam comes out of it. How are you feeling, all right?
I'm feeling good for sure.
All right, don't be an idiot.
The Todd Glass situation. A bunch of lies about my personal life and a bunch of true stories about my 30-year career in stand-up comedy. Please welcome to the program the very funny Todd Glass.
Wow, it's a real show.
Veteran comedian and podcast pioneer is with us, and now best-selling author, Todd Glass. How are you doing, Todd?
Hi, it's Jake Weissman on the show.
Hold on, sir. We'll get to you. I got to use that. You know, I pay for the thing. I got to. All right, let's go in. Let's leave. Do one more, and then
the entertainer's entertainer, Todd Glass.
Oh, wow.
I'm Jewish.
Why call and say you're Jewish? Say we go in for the close?
Please say hello to comedy's national treasure, Todd Glass.
All right, that's how you start a show. God, look at us. It's going to be so much fun. God, look at us. We're here. Okay, give me... it's all going to be all about you. Like, you know, you go to some shows, they make you sit across from them for like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I even feel guilty for doing it for 3 minutes. But there's just some people. I want to say Steve Fine Arts is here. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I'm well. Thank you, Todd.
Let's take a call.
It's the better part. It's still
Steve's like, I do other things too now. That was what launched my career. I don't, you know. So Steve Fine Arts is here. Now, you know, Danielle, you're more than his girlfriend, but, you know. But you are his girlfriend, and I think it's okay to say it. Danielle's girlfriend is here. I mean, Steve Fine Arts' girlfriend is here. Keith is here. You want to? Keith, guess what I did? I got this song. Could you play in the background? I think I could.
Yeah. One and a two and a one, two, three.
I mean, you don't have to. It's just.
What?
Hold on.
I just don't. I mean, you don't have to say one and a two if it's just. Yeah, just play the song. You know, just go into the music. Right.
We'll do that later. All right. Okay. Let's do the song later. One and two and one, two, three. It's ridiculous. Okay. So, also, it's a bit. There's so many bits on top of bits that I think it's okay. I think the audience listening is okay with us because why should you wait till halfway through the show to go, yeah, you go, oh, I figured it out. But at first, you're like, are we really criticizing him? There's no criticizing on this show. Nobody criticizes anybody. It's all love. That's the more love you get, the more silly you get, the more the next thing you know, you feel good. No one's going to. So, that bit started was because a long time ago, I said, play some background music. Like in a bit for real. Two George Carlin is our safe word. That means never break it. So that if we say to George Carlin. So to George Carlin, I was like, hey, play some backup music for this. Like just to help the piece out a little bit, you know? And he goes, a one and a two. One and a two. And he was serious. Who the fuck says a one and a two? And you can't do that if you're in a band. You can't. You think Frank Sinatra, he goes, hit it to the guys or shoot. And you hear a guy in the back, a one and a two and a one. They just fucking play, or they get hit over the head with a cymbal, which leads us to JJ. Well, Whiplash, you know, me and JJ have talked about it. The only way you can be a good musician is if somebody hits you over the head with a cymbal. That's what Charlie Parker did. Are you serious? Backing in cars to the building you own. Can you hear that in the background? What kind of is that a Ferrari?
Yeah.
You know what I told him? I said I'd paint that for him for free. That's how appreciative I am. He lets me use this room up here. I said I'll get 20 cans of spray paint. No one will know shit. JJ, you were on the road. Let's give JJ a little love because he hasn't been here for a while. You were on the road with what? Who were you on the road with?
I was on the road with a band called Orgone.
And how many people are in that band?
8.
8 people. And do you travel on a tour bus?
Yeah.
And do you get a bunk?
There's bunks in the back, but we have hotels.
Oh, but you so you can that by the way, that means that the group is doing pretty good, because that's the next level of, you know, yeah, you have the bus and you sleep on it, but when you get to your venue, you all get your hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Did Fancy.
Well, it's certainly the way to do it, you know. It certainly sands the edges off of the grind of traveling on the road, and it really can make it a lot of fun.
That's
it takes a lot of the bad part out of it. I want a tour bus so bad. I'm very jealous of you.
You have a Prius, though.
You know, you're right. I should be happy. And then you're going out on the road again with who?
With Tobias Gesso Jr. He's a really great singer-songwriter.
Does he listen to the podcast?
He will on Friday.
Why?
Because everybody's going to be listening to it on Friday.
It's when it downloads. Okay, let's. I know what I'm doing. I'm very professional. I know what I'm doing. Let's, you know, right? Let's do it right.
WomenComedy.com.
Show, that's right. Let me tell you something. Yes, sir.
I just know for a fact that I don't deserve all that.
Yes,
so
you
this
do.
Is amazing.
Do
this
it again, then. He needs it again.
WomenComedy.
You ready? And do it right this time. Bubbles in the light. I went to all stops. I mean,
you went to all the stops.
I went through all the stops. Whatever they say. Sure. Whatever they say. What do they say? They say something like that. So that's we have something else. That's the well, they're both good. Joe did a good job.
I feel like this means I'm going to die soon. You know what I mean? Like, this is an unbelievable bar mitzvah-esque type of thing. I love it. Thank you so much.
What do we have for, like, sad music? You know, if your funeral, here's what I would do. I think this would be great to do at someone's funeral. You just get up on stage and you go, well, what can I say about Jake? He was a good friend of mine. The opposite of what you would want to play. There's nothing like endearing about it. Ladies, start it again. It's fun to do it every time. Let me tell you something a little bit about Jake, my friends. I'm done with that. I'm going to play that a lot tonight. Like a lot. Like a lot, a lot, a lot. Also, Jake is back for his second week. Not Jake Weissman, but Jake Adams. I'm revving high, and I don't want to rev high. So just everything's going to be good. We got a little something for you, but I'm not playing it till later. Got caught up. Wade O'Brien got caught up with all the shows.
The
Wade O'Brien,
family?
Yeah. Wade, sure. From the show, Wade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Wade, he got caught up.
I don't know this guy, but
Wade O'Brien. Oh, his girlfriend.
Man.
Oh, my God.
How long ago did you start?
You know he's freaking out right now. Here's him at his house. Oh, my God, honey! I can't believe it. They're mentioning my name on the Todd Glass Show. Jake Weissman's on, and they fucking mentioned my name. I'm shitting in my pants. By the way, what if this podcast, I couldn't do it here? Where am I going to yell like that? I can't yell like that at my house. I can't do that at my house. I've been lucky to do this show up here for 3 years. I've grown slowly to be able to know that I could curdle, you know, whatever they call that, screaming loud.
And that wasn't even that loud.
It wasn't. I know. I backed down because I got tired of doing it. All right, so listen. Nick, let's do this. Nick took some stuff we did from the show, and we're all going to be sending it your way in a second. That's what I do when I'm revving high and I'm nervous that the guests are getting bored. Slow down.
He wakes up to this, right?
Keith is here. Paul Sandwich. It's hard to come up with fake names. Did you ever notice that? Like, the movie Fletch, where he goes John Costone. Whatever that name, because yep. I related with that in the sense that, like, yeah, why is it? Well, who didn't relate with it? I don't know what I'm talking about. Why have a real show? I'm doing investigative journalism, but it's hard to come up with fake names. Like, you're going through customs right now. Sorry, sir, you have to make up a fake name. What is your name, sir?
Johnny Tomato.
See, now, be honest. Now, to George Carlin, what if you had to get through the border? Johnny Tomato, they're pulling you over to the side. I got to be honest with you. Now, if you got drugs on you, do you really want to say Johnny Tomato? And by the way, it's cute now. It might be cute now. Ha, ha, ha. You get a good laugh. But I'm talking about you're at that goddamn border. and you just you have to come up with a fake name. For whatever reason, your friend called you when you're two steps away. He goes, don't use your real. Boom. What's your name right now? It's still hard. By the way, I'm horrible.
Barack Tomato. You know what I mean?
What's your name? What's your name, Steve?
Joseph Klein.
Okay, that was okay. And your name, sir?
Freddie Prinze Jr.
See, but that's a funny one, but that's they're going to pull you over. They're going to go, oh, why don't you come on over here with me? What's your name?
Patrick Fudge.
He's not kidding either. Mine are horrible. I just scream. I go, oh, I can't get any name. It's just, I can go, Fudgy. I'll steal his, too.
Can I ask you a question? How many times, you've gone to the Canadian border a lot. You've gone through Canadian mm-hmm. customs a lot. They are viciously mean to Americans. Have you noticed this?
Let me tell you something. I would say, no, I'm in agreement with you, that I want to be fair to the ones that are nice, and it's always a shock. But I'm going to go 25-30% of the time max. They're really nice. So much where you're like, relax. They go, you a comedian? You're still talking. Yes, sir. And they're like, no. Just like they almost have to say it at ease because they're just talking to you.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like you want to go relax.
Well,
just fucking relax. Don't make pretend you're doing more than you are. It looks sad.
Well, it's almost like when you go to the Canadian, like when you're going through customs, it's almost like they're trying to get back at you for all the terrible shit Americans have said about Canadians for years. That is the only chance they get to fuck with
you. I understand then.
Yeah. No,
maybe
totally. But it's like they really go in and you're like, I just want to get through. I don't, you know, I had a friend when I went to the Montreal Festival last year, Jesse Elias was also there. Jesse Elias looks down a lot. And they just thought he was fucking with them. And he just he doesn't like eye contact. And they just went in on him and almost didn't let him through just because he's scared. And, but I was like, I get it because I make all the healthcare jokes and it's really hacky and shit. And I also, what I like about Canadians is that they're way nicer than Americans, but we just rake them over the coals because we're kind of jealous of their like genial nature and the fact they don't need to murder people to express themselves. And they fucking.
Well, they are noted to be, you know, like I know that I don't know Democrat, Republican, I don't know anything. But I do know from a very young age, I put two and two together is, are they more progressive? Are they more open-minded? Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that a smart person still won't individualize. If you're in Canada and they're the border people that are nice, they're going, no, I'm not going to because of the majority of people. I'm going to individualize and nice people will come. I'll meet them. If the dicks come, I'll meet them. And some people do that. But for the but when you're younger with the backpack, I never knew that you put a Canadian flag on it. That never meant anything to me when everyone said, yeah, because they – yeah, now I understand as an adult. Yeah, because they think you're – they treat you better. When you're traveling around the country, if you're from Canada, but I picture not all Americans, but I picture the opposite of that. Like what they don't want to be associated with is someone going, oh, these bathrooms are ridiculous. Like, yeah, we get it. You miss your old bathroom, but don't be a dumb fuck really loud about it at a restaurant.
Totally.
Like that's the bad Americans.
No, I mean, I get why I'm suffering at the border. I know, I understand my countrymen. Like, I know how terrible our people are.
You agree with them,
but
basically.
I agree with them, but it's like, I don't know. Whenever someone's that mean to me, I just want to pull out the anti-Semite card. You know what I mean? I just want to be like, oh, I'm oppressed, whatever. But really, it's just because my country bombs other countries constantly and then is like, oh, you give free health care? You're a wuss. You know, so I get it.
You say that, you get that.
This is the best day of my life.
You know, we could do the Jake Weissman through the house, and then afterwards, the trumpet could come in a little. Let's try that. Let's put it through the house. And is everybody's good?
Okay. Jay Weissman.
Wow.
Jay Weissman.
You saved it, you fuck. You know what you're doing. And by the way, for our quick breaks, this is my favorite way to take a break. We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this. Let's do it again. Watch how much better it gets and put a lot of reverb in there. Do it again, please. Man, that's how you're fucking shit. So sick of it. So sick of not having JJ around all the time. I need a trumpet player. I need trumpet music in my life. All right. So listen. So Nick took some things from the show and he put it to music and he said it's his alarm every morning. It melted me. It was like very, like, aww. I don't like to admit that side of me because, you know, people know me as a tough, rugged guy. So
absolutely.
You think, like, when you think of me, and be honest, you don't, you know, you don't have to. You like more of like, oh, Todd.
I always approach you as if you have a knife ready. You know what I mean? That's how I approach you. So I go a hug, like I do my finger pointed out first, and then, you know, I'm ready to lose the tip of my finger with you. And then, you know, if we get through a hug, I'm like, I made another day. Unbelievable. Because honestly, well, here's the thing, Todd.
Wow, I don't think I give off that image.
You have a
this guy. You know, you're feeding this guy's ego. Like, wow,
you do.
No, you're being honest with me too.
You have a full arm tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, wow. It's aggressive. I mean, of course I'm joking, but I could see you strangling me to death. I mean, that's not out of the fucking.
Don't think I wouldn't. Yeah.
No, and honestly, to be completely honest, I'd be honored. Like, honestly, if you're willing to, because you would get caught.
I couldn't strangle someone to death. You know why? It's too. They're screaming, they're yelling. Yeah.
Right?
It's,
no, of course.
Freak me out.
Let me ask you this: if you could, if you had to murder
somebody,
someone, what would you do?
Well, I don't. That's a good.
I know
question.
You don't.
Do
want
you know
to...
the answer to yours?
I'm going to think about it while you give your answer.
Can you go first? I'd let you go first.
What does Steve think?
Yeah, Steve.
He definitely
would you
has
do?
Some secret sick shit.
I'd probably drown somebody.
So you would hold them down under the water?
Down underwater.
That's the hardest one to do. Why would you drown someone? They're flailing all over the place. What are you, a monster? I mean, I know we have to come. Our turn's coming, and we have to decide how we're going to strangle people or whatever, kill them. But
I'd probably drop somebody off and see, like, go really far out in a.
See, I could see that because you. Well, you know, then they're flopping around for a while.
Then
how could you?
Then
do
you forget
that?
About them by the time you're back to the shore.
Oh no, my way is going to be so much
nice
more humane than you guys. And I want to. Can you? You want me to go next?
I'll go next. Did you ever see The Vanishing?
No.
Okay. So, well, I'm going to ruin the movie.
Is that hilarious with that car in the background?
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
But by the way, it's part of the show. If you're a first time listener, Joe put something about sometimes you hear car noise in the background at that opening. You do.
What is this place? Where are we?
I can't talk about it.
Oh, we can't talk about it.
No, we can't. We are at a. No, I don't mind. We're at the top. I used to meet a friend here when we would get on the 10.
Ooh, I'm your friends. Ooh.
We get it. You have friends.
Ooh, we meet at fancy car places. Other people meet at gas stations. Probably has IMDb credits.
That trumpet. Seriously, if it gets any better, I'm going to smash JJ over the head with the trumpet later tonight. Then he'll be really professional. Well, that's how you have to do it. That's what they said in the movie Whiplash. That's what they do the thing. I repeat it every day. Sure, you have to hit someone over the head with the whip. In the movie Whiplash, by the way, that was a good movie, and I get his character was supposed to be despicable. I get it. But some people don't think it is. Some people, I bet, go, he was a hard guy, but you know what? And you know what I say? This is not criticizing the movie. It's criticizing that character. Brilliantly done. No, fuck that character.
Are you talking about J.K. Simmons'
character? Yeah, fuck that character in real life. I don't buy it at the end. Oh, I don't mean not in the movie. I mean that guy in real life who exists. That's why he played that so good. It's like, he's got some love deep down. No, I feel bad for him, but I don't want to be around that. Because there's people that are fucking brilliant musicians, and you don't have Charlie Parker. He had to throw a cymbal at whose head? Yeah, that's how he got good. Oh, yeah. That's like, oh, because there's no other way to teach somebody.
My ride's here. My ride's here.
My ride's here.
No. I did it last week. That's you don't get it.
Oh. Whoa. You know, I've never seen Aristotle. Well, now that he smokes pot. But let me get back to you, Jake. Well, I don't want to say it on the air because I know your mom listens. His name's Aristotle. His dog's name's Jeff. But let's go back to you.
Real controversial.
That's a true story. Okay, so back to you. So you were talking about...
Okay, so if I have to murder someone, and let me just preface this with, if I'm murdering someone, that means I'm going to live with the knowledge that I've murdered them for life. So I don't want it to be, like, directly confrontational because I want to at least have a place where I can go to pretend they didn't die. So what I would do is I'd invite them over. I would give them a great night. I would, like, invite whatever stripper they wanted, although I don't really like strippers, but, like, whatever stripper they wanted, I'd let them do tons of drugs. Then I would put a ton of sleeping pills in whatever I gave them to drink. I would knock them out, and then I would drive them out to the desert. I would hire someone to dig a ditch for me, and I would bury them under the ground in a coffin so that then they would wake up and be underground and then die slowly.
Why does it have to be the last part?
Because you said I'm going to murder someone.
Like I know, but you don't have to murder them where they wake up and they realize it. Why can't it be while they're out?
Because if I'm going to cross over to murdering someone, I want that perverse, like, joy of having known that they're just dying underground. Because the flip side of any comedian is a murderer. One of the best ever. Yeah, but not the American version. Not the American
version. In one second, your way, and I want to critique it a little bit before I go to my way.
Oh, you're going to critique it? Oh, no. Yeah.
But I love your way because you're going down the same path I was going. Steve, here's Steve Fine Arts. You know, he's just. Steve, what are you doing? Don't drown you. Steve, what are you doing to me? Steve, come back with the boat. I'll get you under there. And then I pop up. Steve!
Oh, my God.
Steve!
I'm worried about evidence if this ever comes back. If somebody drowns around me, I'm worried.
Do you want to rethink, by the way, I'm being totally honest.
Of what
this is, hey, it's, rest of your life, if you did that, you'd lay in bed at night with your head in the pillow thinking like this.
All right, I got it.
What did I do?
Do you want to rethink it, or are you okay with it?
I'm okay.
Okay.
No, actually, I got it.
I have a short window. I can't. If you didn't answer right away, I can't let you answer.
Clockwork Orange.
No, I'm sorry.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Guys, eyes open all the way. Bitter Buddha. All day, all night.
That's demonic.
For 10 days.
That's a fun
We have an idea.
Someone.
It's called Strange Addiction. Is that a show where they...
Strange Addiction, yeah.
And it's me, but we would only shoot this if it was like, made it fucking real. Like, it's so real that... We have a strange addiction to Eddie Pepitone, and Steve goes on. He goes, "I took all my money and put credit card, and I made a film about him." And I go, "I can't live without him. All I do is talk about Eddie Pepitone 24 hours a day. I have jokes about." We just both tell our story about how much we're obsessed with Eddie Pepitone from our hearts, exaggerated a little, and then we. What would that be? Fuck it. We're not going to do
it. The reason I
we're not
going to
do it. We're not going to do it.
The reason
we're not
I told
do
that
it.
Was to plug.
Not
going to
do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
.com.
I'm sorry. I'm a professional interviewer. Of course, I interrupt you. So you're going to drown somebody still? I'm being honest. Do George Carlin.
You know what? Instinctually, I don't have something that I would like just go to. I don't have something.
Oh,
like,
fuck you.
I swear.
Yeah, now you're
I
so,
swear
excuse
I don't.
Me. We're not.
I guess I would shoot somebody just because it would be quick. But I don't
shoot
know.
Shoot somebody.
I think.
Wow, excuse me. Now you're going to drown.
I don't know what Aristotle thinks. That's
yeah, Aristotle. How would you kill somebody if you had to? By the way, this whole thing is you wouldn't want to kill anybody, but you have to. So what I would imagine if you're sane and you're killing somebody. Which I know that sounds funny, maybe. You try to do it where there's no pain. That's why yours was good, but why at the end? Let me go back to you for a second here. Meanwhile, there's Steve Fine Arts. I think they're out now. Oh, there they go. I'll get them out. Oh.
Steve, what are you doing?
Okay, so why does your way, why can't it be once you, it's in their drink, they don't know, they pass out. And then they get a needle that kills them instead of them waking up in
why.
A coffin.
Well, no,
that would scare the shit out of me.
Well, there's two parts to it. Because, first of all, you don't have to watch them die. You know what I mean?
You don't have to watch them die?
Because if you give a needle, you are killing them and you watch them die. Even if it's a silent death, you watch the 21 grams leaving their body.
Can
and I don't want
a suggestion?
That. Yeah, go for it.
Once you put them in the coffin, and then right before you close it, you inject them. Mm. With the don't try to.
But
find
you want
a
the perverse thing. You want to see.
Well, here's the thing, Todd. If I'm crossing over to being a murderer, like I might as well enjoy some part of it. You know what I mean? Like I might as well be like, ooh, I don't know if he died. I wonder how that fucking guy died in the ground. I wonder what his thoughts were. And like, also the other thing I was thinking about if I were going to be murdered, part of me just wants to be murdered in my sleep, so I don't know. But then part of me wants to know who won. You know what I mean? I want to know who beat me at the end and who got me. So I kind of would like to wake up, gun to the face, like, oh, you motherfucker, I knew you might hit me. Because I fucking talked shit at you about it at an open mic, and now you killed me. You know what I mean? I kind of want to know that shit.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
See, this is why I'm a professional show. Because I take it right at the perfect moment, and I play this. People are stressed out of their goddamn minds. You made them laugh, and then I play this song. That's why my show's popular. I know what people fucking want.
Everywhere I go, I need to let it
people
shine.
Did laugh. Your story's crazy. You're admitting you're insane, and then out of nowhere, boom. Matter of fact, do me a favor. Can you, and we'll edit this out. We don't edit it out, by the way. It's just fun to say. Do you mind doing that again, and we'll have that song come in a little better, like right towards your end? You remember like the last two words you said, and then we'll come right in with the music. Just like ba 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 ba.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why 9/11 was an inside job.
This little light of mine.
We'll be back with the Todd Glass Show, America.
This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine.
Look at people at their houses. They're smiling. Are you shitting me? If you can't listen to this and not smile. This little light of mine. Can you play the other one? I think I could sing that.
This little light of
mine.
I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh, you know what? We'll edit out. I think the dramatic one was too much. So say, do you mind saying like those last few words that you said before? Come in with this. And I think it'd be better. We'll just take all that out of there. No one will ever know. And you won't look stupid is what I'm saying. Like, they won't hear it. They won't hear this.
Oh, I'm not worried about looking stupid.
Okay. Yeah. I have a lot of questions for you. Don't think I don't do my homework. Give me some shit.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, jet fuel can melt steel beams.
Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
I don't like this bit. That's what's good about doing your own show. You don't have to do shit you don't want to do. Okay. So,
Tom, how would you kill somebody?
Oh, yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, I really want to know.
Close to what you... Look, I don't want to even do it. It's the whole thing freaks me out, to be honest.
You got to be the good guy. Huh?
No, I'll do it. I'm going to play the game. I want to... Aristotle, do you want to go before me?
With the bat or, like, just cut their throat open?
Wow. Good to know you're working on the show. Wow. How about you, Paul Sandwich? Say it loud.
I would do it the way Stephen Fine Arts should do it, and I'm going to put a gun on a jib, fly it in... shoot a guy, and capture it in 4K.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. Our guest tonight is Stephen Fine Arts.
Hello.
And Jake Weissman. All right. I know what I'm doing. Okay, listen. I got a few more things to go to.
How do you
Patrick? Patrick, I'm proud of you. Because you did stand up, and you know what? Your email was nice, and you look at you. You know what? I like that he remind.
You didn't tell us.
Oh, what would I do? Okay, hold on, Patrick. He's committing suicide. He wanted me to.
Hold on.
I would. I really, you know, I'm very squeamish. I would do what you did, Jake. I would like the first parts. You put something in their drink. At least knock them out.
Absolutely.
Always funny. I love it. When you're not expecting that and somebody plays it, it just doesn't get any better than that. Well, maybe if that could suck your dick. Nothing? That's so gross. You know what? When I say that again and we'll edit this out, I think we should maybe come in with this here, right here. You know what I mean? But we'll edit all this out. They'll never know. Okay, here you go. Ready? No, seriously. I mean, what was I doing?
How you kill somebody and then?
No. I'm going to go back to that. I'm sorry. Am I ignoring you?
No.
I was saying something and then I went. Oh, this is good if it could suck. When I say it now, it doesn't seem so. Watch your mouth.
Keep this all in.
What is that? Electroshock therapy? I am. That's the joke.
I know.
That I'm going to go back and edit all this out to do this. But what did I say? That I go, this is good if it could suck your dick. Come on. God damn it. Could you do anything with that, you think?
Nope.
Shut up. He thinks that I have to trust him. Could you do anything with that? No. Okay, look, I'm almost done. So we're proud of... Oh, what I would do. I got it. And then we go back to Patrick, why I'm proud of him. What you said with the sleeping pills, I would definitely start that way. And then when I don't know where to put their body. You had a coffin. That just seems like so crazy to me if you're really trying to make this not a spectacle. To go have a coffin.
If you're going to murder someone, it should be a spectacle. Like, that's a life-changing event. It should be like a wedding. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big... You're going to remember, 2015, that's the year I murdered someone and buried their body. Like, I'm not going to fucking just casually do it. I'm going to fucking, like... I'm going to get, like, a really nice edible to celebrate. You know what I mean? I'm going to buy a new shirt. Like, I'm going to be like, I had a fucking day. I, like, went shopping. I got high, and I murdered my good friend. You know what I mean? It was fucking awesome.
What a perfect time to introduce Steve, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Fine Arts.
Steve and Fine Arts. Big
It's still the Bitter Buddha, available.
That was amazing. Thank you. There was one thing left off. I swear.
Hold on.
I swear.
What?
The South by Southwest comedy with Todd Glass, October 2nd.
Well, I'm sorry. Write a complaint letter to Joe McKenzie.
Is that Mr. Lyricist? I
want to get rid of this paper
bad. That was amazing.
Okay, so.
That was amazing.
She's a lady. Oh, somebody said they want Jen Kirkman to come on and do She's a Lady. No. She's a lady. Jerry. Oh, no. They want Jen Kirkman to come on and do Tom Likas, and then to have Jen Kirkman on the show. When James Adomian's on the show, he can do Tom Likas. So tweet at both of them and ask them, and then we could put some pressure on them. All right, listen. We're almost done. Lisa. Okay, that's it. She's a lady.
Will somebody give me Joe's email? I need to email Joe right now.
She's a lady, Jerry and Tom. What does that mean?
Somebody give me Joe's email.
Not on this podcast.
No, he missed a credit, guys.
You know you're right. Well, that's why we might have to let him go. Hold on. I got it. Got caught up. Wade O'Brien. Look at you and your girlfriend.
I'm talking to Patrick as well.
Patrick. Jesus Christ, get this song. Okay, listen, we have a guest sitting across from us with the intro. I'm going to – oh, my ride is here. I think if you have to say my ride's here when there's an ambulance. Letterman said it in the Ed Sullivan Theater, and that's the old –
it's not the right one. Just go back to what everybody was doing. It wasn't the right thing.
That's all right. You know what? There's no judgment. 90% of the time, you do a great job. 10%, it's still not even a bad job.
10%, I feel like.
Well, I mean 3%. 2%. 1%. Never.
Thank you.
Manipulative. Hey, what's your name? Oh, sorry. I thought we get to know each other. Okay, so she's a lady. Okay, so Patrick. Patrick, I stole this verbiage from Jimmy Dore, but I love it. You know, a lot of times when you're on the road, sometimes you're working with a comedian, sometimes when they still have to answer to their parents, justifiably, you know, if your parents are going to give you money to go to school, hey, I don't think you should just, you know, be disrespectful to someone that, you know, especially if they didn't push you into college, it's something you wanted to do. But at one point, you have to say to them, this is not what I want to do. And Jimmy Dore used to always say, sometimes you're giving this advice to a comedian when you're on the road. That's my point. You know, he's like, you only give this advice when they're funny. You know, you're like, you're fucking funny. You do not belong in college.
Right.
You just need to be doing this. And so it's a compliment when you do this to somebody. We'll get to you in a second, Danielle. she's giving me the finger. She said you're not mentioning Bitter Buddha enough. I stand by my man.
Thanks.
So
you were talking about giving advice to comics.
I know. So I did. So you always say, like, when you think someone's funny, and I talked about this in the podcast a long time ago. Jimmy Dore would always go, you know, if you're going to school to be a lawyer and your parents don't go, what are you going to fall back on? No, and we're not. The success of the type of lawyer I would be, that depends how much work I put into it, but I'm going to make my living. No, so don't do it with stand-up comedy, Jimmy Dore would say. Don't do it. There's no fallback. You're doing this.
I honestly feel, and, you know, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I do feel that the only way to really make it as a comic is to let go, as if you're fucking parachuting. You just have to go all in. The only way you'll really make it is by going all in, and life is this ephemeral, pointless thing where just, you know, stardust and come, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so you just have to let go, and you might not make it, but
especially when
it's the only way to make it.
Exactly. Especially when you have – look, we get it. There's a lot of people – you learn to say everything very clearly, because taken out of context, you know, you always wish you could be in someone's house or wherever they're listening to something when you could clarify what you meant. And you're like, oh, no, I know that sounded like – some. That's why I take the time. I really believe this. And this works for guys and girls. It's not sexist, because it would be the same thing if the woman was the comedian and her sniffing another boy or girl, whatever. See, it's all fluid now, baby. That the other person – hold on. I'm good.
We were talking about 9/11.
Come on, help me out. I got a little too much fresh air. I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to get my thought out, and I'm
going
to be
about pressure. Going all in for comedy, giving advice and stuff like that.
So, yeah, because I think I understand why, and this is what we've talked about on the show, is that they think with if you're going to be a teacher or a lawyer, it's more predictable. Like, what are the odds you're going to be whatever household name we can mention right now? But they don't realize, first of all, the odds of that happening if you work hard are great. Like, how many comedians in our own circles do we know that we started with, or we knew that guy when he was in Atlanta, or she used to work in, you know, this comedy club in the Acme Comedy Club, and you're like, yeah, that she hosted. And then you see a lot of people, stand-ups are very, they succeed because they learn timing maybe in comedy, and they're doing it every night, and they tend to do good in other situations. So it's not crazy. So I don't say it like you couldn't be a fucking household name, but what they don't understand, if you fucking work your ass off, I like when I had a comedian, especially when he was nice, and I met him in like 90. I go, whatever happened to blah, blah, blah? They go, oh, he's the head writer in the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Exactly.
Or he's the blah, blah, blah. Or he sold that script. Or he did Malcolm in the Middle. Or whatever it is, you go, and they're, and or they they're the showrunner on this show, probably making $500,000 a year. Yeah, that's making it.
Yep. For sure.
Maybe.
I think people don't. I mean, listen,
they just see it's either you're a household name or you're Steven Spielberg, or that's not the best. That's a dated term now. But you know what I mean? Like, if you say to your parents, oh, I want to be a producer, they either think you're going to be that. They don't realize there's in between grounds.
A million different jobs. And also, you never know what you're going to want once you start. Like, you think you want a certain thing, but you might sometimes realize, oh, being a household name kind of sucks for some people. You know, so maybe I just want to be a writer and have a house and go home and, like, have a cat and smoke weed and wake up for work the next day, as opposed to, like, going to Starbucks and fucking being mobbed every day. You know what I mean?
There's
like,
different. That's why
you never know what you want.
That's why I think, hey, look, I'm a ham. I think I could handle anything. I would love it. I'd go in. I'd buy. That's right. It's me. I think that would be me. Like, I would love to be able to do that. I would go everywhere. I go, shut the fuck up, right? Look at me. I'm like a regular guy. I would do shtick. I would love it. But you say that, and I would. But yeah. But knowing that I get exactly what you're saying, even though everyone in this room goes, Todd probably would handle it because the man I get now, I love it. But I get it. There's a difference when you're Jerry Seinfeld or somebody like Louis C.K. That's it's, I get. So if hold on, I was so close to
Patrick.
But with what you just said about you can go to a Starbucks, that's why I think really if I could choose it and wave a magic wand, it would be Brian Regan type of success. Meaning for more than just the amount of people, but they only know him for his comedy. So they're not going to come because they're only going to, like, if you're in a movie and then they come out to see you and you're not the character they played in the movie and they expect that. So you start drawing this weird audience. Like, Zach Galifianakis has to deal with that.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, my father, when I was growing up, would always tell me, like, don't be famous, be famous to famous people. Like, and I think that that's a really interesting thing because Brian Regan is unreal funny and couldn't have more respect from everyone. Yeah. Like,
and can go to cities and do 3,000-seat theaters.
And then can and fucking walk down the street in L.A. and no one gives a shit. And it's fucking unbelievable. And, like, he just has the respect of his peers and he's so funny. He makes all the money he wants, gets to do what he wants, but he's not...
And to put total modesty aside and saying, look, we're all a little bit, we'd like the accolade, recognized enough.
The dude is famous. He's famous.
Yeah, I guarantee there's not a day where Brian Regan leaves his house where someone recognizes him. But it's what do you call it? It's manageable recognition.
And also, I think, because he's done an excellent job of, like, I remember, because he's everyone's favorite. I mean, like, everyone thinks
there's a reason.
Every comic is like, Brian Regan is. No, Eddie Pepitone's unbelievable. But I mean, as a pure comic, Brian Regan is just unbelievable. It's like clean and amazing. It makes everyone laugh. It makes the crudest people laugh. And it's so funny. But he doesn't, the kind of love he's going to get is just respect most of the time. And when I was reading somewhere he got divorced. No one even knew about it. He's not on TMZ. He's just a fucking amazing talent. And he just does what he does. He lives his life. And it's like, that's an unreal way to live.
I went to see him, and you know, a lot of times, like, I sometimes want to see some of the old stuff, and a lot of times they have all new stuff, but you love it, but it's, I wish they would have done a little more of the old stuff. This is a compliment to Brian. So when I went, someone said, yeah, we were there, it's almost all new, and I thought, I'd like it, but I just thought, not one fucking joke did I miss from his, that he didn't do.
Oh.
Because every new joke was just as great and crisp, and he's growing and he's changing. His going through life with this always being confused, it's always genuine and real because it changes what he's confused about and what And yeah,
he's one of the most incredible comedians of all time. It's truly special in a way that, like, I don't even think will be fully appreciated until he dies, to be completely honest, because it's so incredible. It's like for everyone.
It
I don't
really
know how
is.
He does
and you know
that.
What you're saying, because you could say, like, yeah, but he gets the respect, but I know what you mean, like, probably even more than he gets, and he gets a fucking lot of it, but, like, you're right, when you really think about it, you're like, wow, he's like a fucking a tornado of comedy. I think, by the way, if I had to judge every guy, if I said the only comedians I like are ones that can make me laugh that loud after that, I couldn't, I have to have a second category, and that's still amazing, but it's not, and I throw Eddie Pepitone in there. Eddie Pepitone
is the funniest person.
Brian Regan, Kevin Meaney, but these what guys about, that can rip yeah. the fucking my yeah. shred my insides. Yeah. And by the way, after that, if they don't make it in that list, it's still I'm not going to start listing
Todd,
what comes after that.
Todd,
they're
have you
still
seen, have you
fucking
seen,
amazing
have you seen
comedians.
Have you seen Hamburger?
Well, Neil Hamburger too.
No, not Neil Hamburger. Hamburger.
Hamburger. Of course I have. Hamburger. I don't know if we have it. Do we have Hamburger? There's a guy
I'm
after
sorry,
his jokes. He said.
I was hoping. Yeah, was
that's all right. That's sort of listen.
You know.
Well, you have to give him a heads up.
I know.
Okay, because listen. So there's that. So, Patrick, we're proud of you. You're proud of him, right?
Patrick. Yeah, I'm really
Patrick.
Proud of Patrick. Yeah, he's great.
Hey. Say something nice. What would you want to hear if you were Patrick right now? He did stand up.
Patrick, don't kill yourself, buddy.
No. Say something nice.
Oh.
And if you were going to kill Patrick, how would you do it?
Patrick. No.
All right, Patrick. Everything's fine. He's having a nervous break. Okay, you want to hear something nice, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and start the show, and I have your intro?
Hell yeah.
This is when I'm done. Once I throw this paper out, it's pure relaxation for me. It's pure relaxation. JJ, you're good. Yeah. Did he fall asleep? No?
He's dead.
Somebody hit him with the trumpet?
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na Thank you. All right, listen. So here's what we're going to do, and then we're going to take a break. This inspired me the first time I heard it. To George Carlin, I'm being serious. This is a professor that it's not. It's sad, but it's sad that it can release great feelings. You know, that's the thing about sad things. They don't have to depress you if you take them in right. He dies 60 days after, pretty much after he says this. He makes this speech. I took the tail end of it. We're going to play it. We're going to listen to it. Then we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to have a good time. I'm going to make a drink. But two months after this, he dies. But when he's done making the speech, he walks to the end of the stage, picks his wife up, and carries her off the podium. And he does this at a college. He makes this speech at a college thing. It's just the last minute of it, but I just think it reminds you of some good things. And it just, I don't know why. Every time I hear it, it just like lightens me because, yeah, you know, it's you can deal with the stuff you got to deal with. It sounds so cliche, but it's a constant reminder. So. Maybe I'm oversetting this up. Who gives a shit about this guy? Nah, big deal. You pick your wife up. What do you want from me? I got a show to run here. I got a show to run. I mean, it sounds so sappy, but, you know, my dad passed away, and I wrote a song. On Monday morning, my dad, yeah, he... I don't do songs. That's my new favorite thing. I go in the audience. People love when you write songs. So I go, what is your name? To somebody. It's my new favorite thing to do. And they get excited every time. I feel guilty. What is your name, sir?
Barack Tomato.
What do you do?
I already told you that.
What do you do for a living? Picture you're at a comedy show. This is what happens. People get excited, and every time I feel bad. What do you do for a living?
I'm in sales.
You're in sales, and what kind of car do you drive?
Prius.
Here we go. My name is Barack. I get up every day. I drive out to the corner and then I go, nah, I don't got nothing. That first line's the easiest one to do. Like, watch this. And the crowd, every time I go, oh, you. Every time you think I'm going to do it, I'm telling you now so you don't think I'm mean to you, I'm not going to do it. The first line, you can fool everybody. It looks like, oh, he's on his way to some fun shit. Watch. What is your name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy, and what do you do for a living?
I'm a dancer.
You're a dancer. Okay, that's cool. I don't make fun of that. That's all. That's good that you follow a dream that you have. You're a dancer, and what kind of car do you drive?
Camry.
What's your date? What's your what year were you born?
1972.
And what's your name again?
Jimmy.
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 Okay. Jimmy. Okay, here we go. On Friday at 3:30, I looked at my clock. I walked into the foyer. I saw... that's it. It's, the first, you don't have to rhyme. It looks like, oh, he's going to be rhyming. Not the way he's saying it. On Friday morning, I do... there's nothing. So anyway, I'm done with that. So let's play this dead guy's speech.
Before we do it, can I just...
hey, by the way, how about it show a little respect?
To what? To
for
the,
my
the
bit that went, for my mean bit that I don't want to edit out. I don't know why. I was being silly. It is funny because obviously from my heart, this guy has changed my, he is part of my fiber because of brilliant words he said. So I earned the right, yeah, that's right, to make ridiculous jokes. Because obviously I know what the fuck I'm doing. You people at home, you can't do this shit, but I'm a professional. You make mean comments, everyone thinks you're mean. I know how to do it. All right, what did you want to say?
Chris James.
He passed away Thursday. Is that true?
Yeah, he passed away. But he did leave a comedy album that is releasing.
What's the name of it?
An actual comedy album.
I love that name. And we listened to the track, him talking about his mom and going back. His mom. I don't know. Do people say mom in Canada?
Wait.
No,
Chris James?
Yeah, from Vancouver.
Yeah, there's two Chris James.
Oh, okay. Because I know a friend of mine is named Chris James, and he's like young and stuff.
Young and stuff. Chris James is 30. Like an Oreo cookie. Wait,
really?
He just did Just for Laughs this year. But he lives in Vancouver.
Chris, I don't know.
James? I know Chris James.
I know Chris James too.
No, I know Chris James. You know Chris James? I know. Chris James.
I know Chris James.
There's only one Chris James, and he has a CD out, or whatever you fucking call it, and it's called an actual...
comedy album.
Comedy album, and it's Chris James that lives in Vancouver. By the way, I listened to that track, whatever track that was. We'll play it sometime. Well, let's play it when we go to break now, I guess. Oh, no, because I want to... let's play this... professor, play this professor real quick, and then we'll play... and then we'll... here's what we'll do. We're going to play the professor, and we're going to listen to it. And then we'll medley into Chris. Let's play the track about his talking about living at home, like when he was, 26
right
and
now.
30. Well, let's play the professor first, okay. And then we'll go into that. And let the professor, let it breathe, like I say on the show. We're going to come back. We're done with this. It's going to be fun. I go to wrinkle it up, but I don't in case I forgot something. I'm nervous. So here we go.
You will need to find your passion.
I know that's not the
best. Many of you have already done it. Many of you will later. Many of you may take till your 30s or 40s. But don't give up on finding it. Right? Because then all you're doing is waiting for the reaper. Find your passion and follow it. And if there is anything I have learned in my life, you will not find that passion in things. And you will not find that passion in money. Because the more things and the more money you have, the more you will just look around and use that as the metric, and there will always be someone with more. So your passion must come from the things that fuel you from the inside. And in my experience, no matter what you do at work or what you do in official settings, that passion will be grounded in people. And it will be grounded in the relationships you have with people and what they think of you when your time comes. And if nothing else, I hope that all of you can find that kind of passion and that kind of love in your life. Thank you.
And now here's Chris James.
But the reason that that was where I was, I have family, right? That's what you think. You shouldn't be squatting in an empty apartment. Chris, you should be with family if you need a place. But the reason is, like, my mom lives around here and everything, but I'm 30 years old now. I'm 30. And I made this is the year I made a decision. I won't live with my mom. I can't do it. Oh, no, don't clap for that. It's crazy. It's a very, very high age to make that decision. Because I'll tell you why. Because, like, when I was, the last time I did was when I was about 26 years old. It was, like, about 4 years ago. And it was for about a month. And the worst, it's weird because your mom... she'll always think of you as like her little baby, as her little... it's a really sweet, endearing quality that moms have. But it makes it the dynamic strange when you're living together as a grown-up. You know what I mean? Like I remember like once when I was living there, I was ordering tickets online to a show, just like a show like you guys are at. I'm just relating to the crowd. But she noticed, she saw, I guess, that I was ordering tickets online, like, on the computer, so she just ran, like, went quietly and got her credit card out. Yeah, she's like, she taps me on the shoulder with it, like, here, Chris, why don't you use my credit card? I know, it was sweet, but it was also kind of like a bit of a sad moment for both of us. right? Because I had to, so I was like, Mom, do you really, I'm a grown-up now. Do you really think at this point in my life as a 26-year-old man, do you really think that I don't know your credit card number off by heart? Come on. That's true. I've never had like a lot. I've never had tons of money like in my life. I've never been like a really rich guy, but I never had no money because my mom just always had a bunch. I know now. I understand. Like I said, I would. I know I'm not going to go live there. I understand now. Finally, like it doesn't matter if your parents have lots of money. You want to make your own way in this world. You know, it's. I get that. But when I was growing up, when I was like kind of a younger guy, I thought like I was a spoiled kid. I can admit that now because I thought other people had. Like the same situation, the same. I thought when you had a problem, you could go to your parent. Like that's what I thought it was. And I remember once when my friend was, he was all bummed out. I was trying to be a good friend. I was like, "What's up, man? What's wrong?" And then he was bummed. He told me, he said, "Oh, I'm bummed because I don't have enough money to pay my rent." And then I was like, and so I said, "Oh, you bummed out? You're bummed? You're stressed because now you got to call your mom for email money transfer?" I was like, "I hate the way she makes you feel." He's just like, "No, man, my mom's not giving me an email money transfer at all." And I was like, "That's fucking brutal. She's making you go meet her?" I was like, "That's probably a bluff. Just hold off. She'll send it." And he's like, "Dude, do you not understand?" Like, he's really mad. He's like, "Do you not understand? The problem is that my mom doesn't have the money to give me for my rent." At that point, I just told him that I was like, "Okay, I get it." Because he was just so mad. But really, what I was thinking, if your mom doesn't have the money, why doesn't she just call her mom for an email money transfer?
I killed a man and buried him.
What? Wait, what were we... I fell into a deep sleep. I know my acting isn't that good, but what are you going to do?
Started with Chris James' CD. I don't know what happened.
By the way, that's a funny track, Chris. And let me tell you something. You're a funny fuck. And if Chris James is going to be in a city near you, I always say this about everybody. Don't maybe go. If somebody like makes you... Well, he's never been on the show. Don't go see him.
He was on kind of a show.
No, I'm kidding. I'm saying the same thing I say for... Yes, he did do the opening of the show in Vancouver, but I'm saying... I wish there was someone should put together, and I think could monetize it, a lot of shows that you're on, but they don't have to, like, you don't have to call them and go, "Hey, I want to plug my dates." Like, that you could plug dates on someone else's site even when you're not doing the show. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I'm going to be at a place, I can go to a site, and I guess could you go post it? Let's say for Getting Doug with High, could I go post some dates? There's nowhere to go post some of my dates there, like people that... I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what? Fuck it. I'm tired of arguing with
Doug. We're going to do it tomorrow, right? You can just put up the poster while you're on it.
That's true. I'm sorry. I know what people want. I mean, that's why I have a good show. Because I know.
Well, she's all you ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt. Take to dinner.
This is part of our summer concert series.
And she always knows her place. She's got style. She's got grace. She's a winner.
I know what I'm doing. It's a professional show. Are you fucking shitting me? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I like the way this sounds. Would you... Oh, you have a cat, right?
I have two cats.
What are they friendly?
Oh, the best.
How old are they?
About 8 years old.
Three. That's a good thing about cats is they live so long, especially if you take care of them.
Yeah, when they die, I'll kill myself for sure.
So will they jump up in your lap?
Pebbles does, yeah.
Can I tell you something? If I thought, maybe I'm just talking, but like if I thought, like I had a cat growing up, his name was Hemingway, and also my friend Andrea has a cat, same thing. Like, but there's two cats. I know a lot of friendly cats. I've seen people that were sick friendly. Like Hemingway, you could just like, he would fetch things, and you could just like pick him up by his belly and just carry him around the house. He didn't give a shit. He'd put him right back down. He'd lay there.
Yep.
I used to do sit-ups with him and go, "Hemingway, you're getting too heavy." He would let me do the sit-ups. I'd never stop because he kept getting laughs. And I would cross over the arms, and I'd let him go, and he'd fall over and fall asleep. It was great. And we shave his whole body. We'd leave his legs full and shave his tail and leave a thing. He looked like a little fucking lion. because he had a big bushy
head. Oh, yeah,
head.
I love that shit.
It looked cool. And he was comfortable that way. He didn't get knotted. And he would go into the living room when we had kittens. And it's not like we said, oh, he'll do it, and he wouldn't. If I brought you over to my house when I was in probably fifth grade, and I said, watch what he'll do. If you ever caught him doing it, he would do it every time. He'd go to he'd bite the kittens because our other cats had kittens. He'd bite them. We'd go, Hemingway, and he'd start licking them. So he knew what the fuck he was doing.
I love that. But a lot of people don't like cats, but I like how manipulative they are. I think it's an incredible sign of – like, I'm like, yeah, you're fucking smart. Like, if you could figure out a way – like, people are always like, oh, you know, cats would eat you after you fell – like, if you died, it's like, good for them. It's good fucking protein. Who gives a shit? And I'll live inside them forever, and then we'll fucking, you know, die together. It'll be great. Like, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, who gives a shit? I don't care what happens after I fucking die. Yeah. Shit in my face. I don't care.
Can I tell you how much I love overly affectionate cats?
The best thing
in the world.
And I don't
have a cat. Is that I'm going to be for a while, it went to my ex's mom because I was on the road a lot. And then once Looney went back over there, she just ended up staying over there.
Yeah, I get it.
And for a while, I was like, for like 4 months, I'm like, no, I want her. And then I started thinking, it's a little easier without the litter box. And, you know, so and she still has him. She still has Looney. Here's how much I like Looney. Scared shitless of everybody at first. Then she turned into this cat where she wouldn't leave me the fuck alone. And I loved it. Even though I would go, Looney, stop. Oh, really deep down.
Yeah, yeah.
I would shave and she would jump up on the mirror and want to sit there and watch me. I go, Looney, stop it. But I loved it. It was all bullshit. I was acting like, oh, come on, give me some space. Meanwhile, I fucking loved it. If I went into the other room, she would run into the other room. If I went into the kitchen, she'd jump up on the counter. I go, Looney, you don't have to follow me into the kitchen. Oh, yes, she did.
Yeah.
I said it that I didn't want her to do it, but I really loved that she did it. Give me some space already.
Well, anything that wants to be around me and then just always shoves their asshole in my face, I'm into. You know what I mean? I'm just into it, yeah? I mean, yes, that's what I want.
You think about it. What do you say about yourself? If something wants to be around you that much, that means it's getting comfort from being around you. Animals love to usually be around something that brings them the most comfort and the most relaxed they can be. It's just it's human and animalistic nature.
They don't do anything they don't want to do. So, and so if they like you, it means you're a good person. And
yeah, what do they do?
Great.
They choose, well, you could be a crazy person with cats, but you're nice to them at least.
Yeah, exactly.
They sense it. I don't know what they sense.
They're the best. They're like animatronic magic pillows. It's fucking great. It's the best thing ever.
So the way that we decided to shave Hemingway is because I saw it once at some – it was like a store that had a cat, and they had a tabby cat, and it was shaved. The body shaved, legs left full, face left full, tail shaved, ball at the end. And it was like an oversized tabby cat, like 30 pounds probably. It might have been a little more, but not like where it's like, oh, that is a big fucking cat. And yeah, probably 5-10 pounds overweight. No, not 5-10, but 5 pounds overweight. And I'm being very specific with that because when someone has a cat that's too fat, at one point it becomes sad. But when it's just like a little extra, you know, and that cat looked fucking cool. And if I'm going to get a cat, why not have a cat that looks like a fucking tiger?
Absolutely.
So is there anybody that breeds oversized, not Maine Coon, tabby cats? I mean, like there's a place somewhere you pay a little extra and they come in, they're 40 pounds, they shave it like a lion. And guess what I would tell people? Fuck it. I would lie to their face. I go, it's a lion. No, I have a lion. It's half lion, half.
I feel like
gorilla.
We have to get to a point where, you know, like I've never dreamed about being super rich, but if I do end up being rich, I think a real status symbol is like having a bobcat. You know what I mean? Like if you're throwing a party and then someone goes upstairs and you have a bobcat up there, it's like, man, this guy's fucking rich and probably does weird heroin and he's awesome and I fucking want to know everything about him. Like I just want – if you can have like anything that a zebra would hang out with scares people and I want that kind of respect, you know?
Would a bobcat you're right. If you went over someone's house and they had like just a giraffe in their backyard. Yeah. Oh, things are going pretty good even though it's not nice to do to the giraffe or the bobcat, but we're saying
– That level of success where you have wild animals, it's like, yeah. You and honestly, yes. If you're at the point of wild animals, you've already like fucking been – you've kicked so many addictions because that's like a new addiction. You know what I mean? That's like a new level of –
by the way, can I clarify this a little? Because at first we were saying like in the house, your picture, you go into a bedroom. But as you tell the story, I realized that over the years I can think of 3 or 4 people I knew like that. I had friends, the Nalibotskis. I don't mean to brag. They had a house
we've all been to the Alabama.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida. Where is it in Florida? No, I want to think of the place. I want to think of it. What's an offbeat part of Florida?
Pensacola.
No. I'm not stopping until we figure it
Destin.
Out.
Destin.
Fort
nope.
Myers.
Fort Myers. All right. God, thank you. So, and their neighbors, that was one situation, not in their house, But there was like two, you know, goats, and then I think there was like a zebra. There were weird animals. It was past horses and goats, because everyone can have horses and goats. It went to some exotic animals. Now, maybe they were from a place where they were rescued and they couldn't be in the wild. It didn't have to be totally inhumane. Hopefully, at best, it was. But you're right. Like, but they had all these. Well, how much money do you have? Where you have a property?
And also, it's not just the money. It's like if you're living in a house with something that could definitely kill you, it means that you've already you're so bored with life that you need to wake up every day and be like, I might get murdered by my bobcat. You know what I mean? It means you're looking for an excitement that you can't find anymore. So it's like you like need that excitement.
You're numb. You're numb. Can I tell you that? Oh yeah, so the zoo and all this and whenever those people get look, I don't feel this way anymore. I get it because they have a problem. If you have a disconnect, I think, or maybe I'm wrong. Either way, it's sad when somebody has a lion and it ends up attacking them. Look, I don't want to see anyone attacked, but I admit, you know, that sometimes I think. Good. Well, you know, like they're animals. They're wild animals. Like, and then I think, well, that person, you do have a serious problem if you don't understand that, yes, believe me, I would love, I've said it in my act, to mush a bobcat. Right. I would, would I love it to have it love me and mush its face. But I don't do that because I get it. There's a, even if the, whatever the percentage is that they might turn on you, so whenever they turn on people, I feel bad.
It's like Grizzly Man, like the movie Grizzly Man.
Right.
But yeah, did you see the movie Roar? Have you heard of the movie Roar?
No. Oh, I know.
Rory Scovel!
It's like 70 lions and tigers in a house, and they filmed this movie with Melanie Griffith.
Is that real?
And everybody was attacked and maimed and just like... Tippi Hedren, yeah.
Wait, is this a true story?
Yeah, it's a real movie.
It's a real movie,
70 lions in a house?
Yeah, it's absurd. And they were,
I think it's crazy part is that Melanie Griffith slept with a lion in her bed for her entire adolescence.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Talk loud, because otherwise we can't.
The lion would...
Louder.
The lion would swim in the pool.
Thank you, I like it. No, you did a good job. Wait, can I tell you, I got a little confused. Is this a documentary?
No. It's a movie that was like, they just did it at a CineFamily because it's like this long-lost classic kind of thing that like, it's one of those things you can't believe it was made kind of shit. But yeah, a lot of people got maimed and shit, and it's, you know, it's pretty crazy.
I don't like it. Hey, listen, I just move on. So the cats, we were talking about the cats. I'm professional. I do a good interview. Everyone's nervous. So yeah, whenever those lions, they ate their face off. Well, you know, what can I say?
That's just Darwin. I mean, honestly,
I don't really feel that way. At the end of the day, I still have empathy because they have some strange connection with them. And, you know, even if they do have a little bit of a disconnect, that doesn't mean they deserve to lose their life. But I still do say, you know, if you had a dog and he got a bald spot on his head and he wanted a toupee, you just felt it. you felt it. Like he's like, and he goes and he tries to maybe when you're in the somewhere he's in the he looks at a magazine. Maybe he tries to stamp on the page when the commercial's on for Cy Sperling, he goes to the TV and then you get him a toupee. Wouldn't that be fun to have put a toupee on your dog and walk him around and go like this? Shh, don't say anything
about it. He's really sensitive.
Like to your friends, go. You put your hand on your heart.
Please don't. He's very sensitive about it.
And you go, why not a she? Well, because they could put on a wig and it wouldn't look crazy. I'm kidding. Sounds like a bad movie. So that's good. We talked about the cats. I guess that was like a, you know, I'm a good interviewer. No, I can't help it. Let's introduce this guy and start the show, right? There we go.
Well, Jake. Jake Weissman.
Our guest is Jake Weissman and Steve Beinart. It's a real show. Are you shitting me? Yeah, this is the way you produce a show. I'm not fucking dumb. Yeah, it's like something's going on. What are these other podcasts? It's I should stop. You have friends. You're like, listen to the Todd Glass show. Look what. Yeah, if there's not a trumpet blaring in your ear, then turn your podcast off. This trumpet says everything's going fine. Yeah. Yes, nothing could be going wrong.
I feel great, Todd.
Yes. That's better than a cup of coffee, you pile of shit. God damn it. Hit me again. Don't be shy. Keith, put some reverb in the trumpet, even though he said take it out. We're going to take it home. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Here we go. Take it home, JJ. Come on. Come on, I want to get number one. I want my podcast to be number one. You got to play the trumpet to get more listeners. Yes. I think it's got to be undeniable. People have to be like, you cannot like that fucking Todd Glass show. Yes. I tried to. We'll be back.
Well, anyway, so there's that. I mean, if you say to yourself, hey, I want you to listen to the Todd Glass show. Is there a part I could listen to, like, you know, that I would quickly know if I liked it or not? Send them right there.
You know,
because if you have a friend that listens to that, you go into episode, whatever number it is, an hour and 20 minutes in, and they listen to that and they go, it wasn't my thing. Then you don't need them as a friend. They got a fucking illness.
This is, you do so much for your guests. It kind of feels like when you're a sick kid and the football player comes to visit you, it's like, oh, I'm going to die. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a make-a-wish thing. Like, no one has ever done this much for me, and I have loving parents. You know what I mean? It's just so much, but I do think you're going to kill me after. Like, I feel like you're going to drug my drink for sure.
Can I tell you something? Do it again.
Well, Jake, 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 Jake.
Come on, give me some reverb.
Jake, 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 Jake,
Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake,
Jake,
Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake,
Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake, Jake,
All right, we're done. I gave up the... That should have been the closer. Shit. Wow. I like that guitar. Score the show. Right there, you should score it.
And one.
And never mind.
He takes his time.
Jay, you have to get... You have a...
Let me just say this
off the air.
Should we read on
that? I know, but you can't. You're supposed to be the bigger person. He has a problem. He says a one and a two and a one, two, three.
Don't know what no means?
Yes, I understand you on a logical point. I get it. He doesn't. Obviously, he doesn't know. So what do we do? Do we?
I know what that problem is. I get, like, what is known?
All right, so do a little music for us. Well, no, Jesus, we just went through that. It seems you do know. No. I don't like the way he's acting. Can you just start playing the song?
Yeah.
You get what? No, do you understand?
No, I know what you're trying to say, but I'll do my best.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay, hey, can I get a little background music? That doesn't even seem
too much.
All right, never mind. You know, we don't even need the music. It's so stupid anyway, this bit. Like no, we don't need it. You're fine. You're doing a good job. Stop it. I feel like you're being insecure over there. Really good. JJ, and I'm going to be honest, and I want this room to be honest with me. It's not a competition, but some nights there's first and second prize. When you play that, I want JJ to play on the trumpet just for a little bit, and then he'll play on the guitar. And we'll first prize, second prize.
I think that's good.
Is that good? Okay, yeah. So give us a little something over there.
And one, and two, and one, two, three.
Okay. Now, JJ, what do you want to do? And now the trumpet. Let's hear it and we'll judge. We're going to be fair, though.
Well, JJ sucks. You know what I mean? Well, he's so bad at music.
Can I be honest? Yeah. I feel weird saying this in the room. Sometimes it can be too good.
Sometimes when I
don't like music that's so good it slaps me in the face and calls me an idiot.
Do you ever feel like when you hang out with musicians, when someone's like a consummate musician like that, do you ever feel like they have real talent and you're like, what am I doing?
Well, I feel like when he's playing, every song is like, fuck you, I've got more talent.
It's like all I hear is like he can employ himself for the rest of his life, where it's like, you don't need me, you know?
You know, some people think they're cool because they can whistle.
Yeah.
You know, like to get a taxi.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're with your significant other.
Well, I love that. I love that, like, there's a guy who's like, you know why I'm cool? Because I whistle for taxis.
It is cool, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really cool.
When you see someone whistle, like when they can do it with the two fingers or with their two
fronts. The two fingers thing is insane. Yeah. That's like from like a 1950s movie or something.
Right, and then a cab pulls over. You're shitting me? You may as well be a superhero.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like, taxi. Yeah. I go, I used to be able to do this thing. It was like, can't do it anymore. So anyway. So JJ is—he could be getting into a taxi, and he could have his trumpet with him, and then all of a sudden, like the taxi pass. Do we have any street noise? Street noise.
Sure.
We'll paint the picture. So JJ's coming out, you know, and it's like it's after a show. He's with maybe, you know, he's with a nice young lady. Maybe he met the night of the show. Well, let's go with. Okay, very light on the helicopters, but do we have any street noise? That's how you stall. Sure I do, Mr. Glass.
Why on the street?
Yeah. Is that would it be easier if you did it in here live? Can you just do some background? Don't overdo it, but like, you know. And then JJ comes out. There's a taxi, but instead he can blow his trumpet. So he's like, oh shit, I need to get a taxi. Hold on, sweetheart. And then the taxi pulls over.
Yeah, I pull over for that.
And then he takes his trumpet and he twirls it around on his finger and he puts it on his holster.
And he's like, I don't even want the cab. I just wanted to know that I could pull you over.
And that
I'm JJ.
That's how he makes them come. He plays trumpet right in their vaginas. No, that's true. That's an old trumpet. I'm not even making that up. Why would I make that up? What would I have to gain? All right, listen, let's get back to the show. Here's what I'd like to do. Do you like to sing?
Oh, no, I hate it. Yeah, I actually hate singing. But okay. I'll do it. I mean,
I was
going
to ask you to do. What's going on, Steve Fine Arts?
Trying to help.
What are you trying to do? Tell me.
Trying to give notes to your sound effects man, Jake, over here.
We're not. Oh, we're. I think we're past that bit. Thank you. That was nice. Can I do one thing? Can you indulge me?
Absolutely. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Todd.
Hello. Don't look so sad. Can you play that? Yeah. I know it's over, but life goes on. With this whole world. It's not as much fun as I thought it would be. It's always more fun at the gym when I got the earphones on and I'm playing a karaoke song and then I'm thinking, oh, this will be fun to sing. And then when I actually have to do it, not so much fun. So what I'd like to do is move on. We talked about the toupee. I'd like to recap. It's not stretching out the material and don't let anyone tell you it is. So we did the dog toupee bit. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it murdered.
Wow. Those were different times. You can't do anything at the colleges anymore because everyone's too smarter than you. Can't do anything anymore. I have no problem. The colleges. You know, I never heard somebody say this the other day, and I'm gonna go social in a second here for very quick. It's been a silly show. I never heard, and I was talking about this off the podcast, that it's been put out there as colleges used to be a place where you could go. I always heard the complaints a few times. It's a little hard because you go to colleges and they try to be so PC, and some of them think they're being PC and they're being overly PC, but I disagree with all that. I'm only bringing you up to speed, but we talked about a little bit of this. And but I never heard from the perspective of they're at least acknowledging it. They're saying, yeah, that used to be great. You know, you go to a college and that – and I go, yeah, it's still like that. It's still like that. Oh, and that's when I get really sad. I'm like, oh, you have no idea. Like – colleges are still like that. When I do University of Santa Barbara, I look forward to doing. Yeah, you know what jokes you have that you don't do some. You know, maybe you don't do them somewhere because you're like not as much anymore. But like, hold on, I want to explain it with so you. But when you're going to a college, you know, yeah, they're going to be able. If I do a joke about not hitting kids at all, and it's obvious my joke is making fun of the people, they laugh. But if you do that at a dumb comedy club, they're not so wait. So what is my point?
Well, can I say this? Like, yeah. I think that...
Oh, so I'm saying they're still progressive.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that people don't remember about college is that when you hear great comedians in college, whether it's on a record or live, that's when a comic can change your life. That's the best time that... I remember hearing Mitch Hedberg or David Cross's album, I forget which... Shut Up, You Fucking Baby. I remember hearing that and being like, oh my God, that it changed my life. It made me think about things in a different way, which if I'd heard it at 30, I'd be like, well, I've heard people talk about this shit. You know what I mean? But like comedy, when you hear it, when you're out of the umbrella of your parents and whatever conservative hometown you came from, you hear people tell jokes that are like, fuck the government, whatever it is, like, you know, people are fine, like stop being racist. You're like, oh wow, this is what I should have been knowing all along. That's when it can actually change your life. Comedy can't change your life later, but it can change your life when you're like 20. You know what I mean? And I think that's even if people aren't laughing super hard at a college, they're listening and learning in a way that clubs they don't.
You know what? I love talking about this. But we won't go too much. So only because of I don't know, I have restrictions. Chris Hardwick, my friend. I'm repeating myself, but I forget who said it. You know, when you have a friend, but sometimes when you tell a joke, even if it ends up being a good joke that involves the word AIDS or involves, you know, something that is like can either be dealt with brilliantly or you can go down the shitty path. And overwhelmingly, most people you see go down the shitty path with. So even if it's in a gray area or what, hold on. So I like the way this is said because it's not saying that we're not acknowledging that sometimes, yes, people can hear a joke. But here's what this person said. It might have been my friend Duncan. You force them to do math. Whether socially evolved people, yes, they hear the word. And even if it ends up being a good joke, so I'm even chastising that side a little bit, it's still your job to get them there. And I will give you a good example. Look, I do enough shitty comedy. If I think I did something right, I can say something kind about myself. But I used to have a joke that I didn't want them to think I was sexist, and I'm not. But they don't know me, so I purposely have a joke defending Oprah. I don't have to get into it now, but you could tell. And I always did that joke first because by the time I got to the second thing, it bought me, like, sure. I didn't put up a roadblock.
Absolutely.
It is your job. It's okay if you're forcing them to do math because they're kind. Even forget about shitty audiences. What about those brilliant audiences? Even the most brilliant, Meltdown audience or Acme in Minneapolis or the Atlanta or some of the Heliums, even those crowds that deem themselves to get good comedy, they're the ones, especially when they hear a word, they're going to go, listen up, because if it's you shittily, I'm not going to be a so you force them to throw them a little bit. So, but that's a small price to pay. But sometimes when I feel the masses are wrong, for how often I think they're right.
I think that any time that, you know, obviously when you're a comedian, you don't like anyone policing what you do. Of course it sucks, but the thing is, it makes you be better. Like, you can still find a constructive way to say something if people are like, don't say that, don't say that. Of course, sometimes they're wrong. Like, they're just censoring too much. But it's good for you because it's like, well, like, because I can't do clean comedy. But I'm super envious of people like Brian Regan who can do clean comedy and make me laugh as hard as someone who's saying, like, something about cum. Like, it's amazing to me that you can do that because I can't. I don't have that kind of skill. And so I think it's just restrictions usually lead to invention and good shit.
Agreed.
But, you know. Fuck the police and stuff.
No, it's okay. I was letting that simmer or whatever you call it. And no one said – and I always like ending it this way because it just says I'm not crazy. Like both parties should do whatever they want to do. That's what – no one's ever – I've never heard of even a lunatic say – so we're saying – like I'm repeating myself because I haven't said it to you. But, you know, do everybody do what they want. And in a way – they're policing the policing. In other words,
yes.
When you're saying, oh, everyone can't, you want them to shut up. Everyone's just got to do what they do. Look, I get it. Even someone I disagree with, they're doing exactly what I'm doing. They're doing what they think from their gut is right. So you might say, well, who's to decide? History. History writes itself, and I think I'm going to be on the right side of it because I use social stats. It's a word I made up. You look at the poll, you know, you just use social stats, and I know there's no fucking way that I'm going to look wrong on anything. It's just using common sense. People cure cancer. People cure diseases. So it doesn't mean that I can't cure a social imbalance of saying, no, I factually will not be wrong. Because with that, like honing in on a very specific thing and saying you're right, again, I'll repeat myself, that's how people cure diseases. They fucking hone in on it. And if you just look at it, like I say all the time, the pulse of the young generation, whenever we give people rights, we're never wrong. So if you're not erring on the crazy, what they call, oh my God, anybody, you're wrong. And you're going to know you're wrong if you live long enough. Mm-hmm. Like the people that look back on gay marriage and go, what did I give a shit for? Yeah, the new thing, you're going to look the same way. Stop.
Do you ever wonder what the thing you're a progressive person, you think, you know, you want rights for everyone. Do you ever wonder what belief you have now that you think you're open-minded about that is going to be like, is going to be seen as like disgusting in 20 years?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is a compliment. The fact that you're even bringing that to fruition is probably why the odds of you maybe staying away from that as much as you can will happen, because you're aware of it. That's a great question to ask yourself. Like, don't be so stupid to think, like when I watched the coffee commercials where they were so sexist in the 70s, you know what I mean? And everyone probably said, there's no way we're not doing anything like that now.
Oh, I mean.
So, but if you think about that, you'll miss shit. That's okay. But you know what? You won't look like a buffoon that didn't care. If you try your fucking hardest to do it, you're still going to miss shit. But so what? No one's looking at somebody's old body of work to see when they were maybe a little wrong. You look at their body of work with awe and reverence when they were 75% always punching the right person. I'm not looking to, hey, I got shit in my act that I wish I wouldn't have done.
Yeah,
so
but
it's all right.
It's,
you drop it.
Yeah,
no big deal.
It's just how it goes. The thing that I think I'm conservative about is I'm anti people with earlobe spacers. Like I think it's wrong. I don't think you should be able to enlarge your ear. You know, when they put those circles in their ears, and it's like you could put your dick in their ear. It's like, stop that. You're not allowed to do that.
Don't think that way.
I know I shouldn't think that way. But
stop
this
it.
This is my line. This is my line. This is where I'm conservative. I need something to grow from. And I fucking hate those people. They make walking into Echo Park a nightmare for me, like a visual nightmare, and I want to vomit, and I also kind of want to cum, and I don't like either of those things, you know what I mean? So I don't want that shit. I just want to not see a vagina in your ear, you know what I mean? Like, fucking leave me alone.
You know what, though? I get it. I'm not trying to be like... What did you say?
We were laughing at saying, you get it. Yeah.
No, I don't get it. I get that you're... Sometimes... It might not be that with me, but maybe there's something else, like people that walk backwards on the treadmill.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, We were talking about the Strange Addiction show the other day.
You have ice in your mouth?
No, we were talking about... I feel like I have to jump in here.
I thought you had ice in your mouth.
Come on. I just go on.
Go ahead. You should jump in.
No, what I was trying to say is the Strange Addiction show...
Yes.
We were talking about that the other night, as the people that we don't really make fun of, like those people. But there are people who do make fun of people who like eat like couches.
On Strange Addiction. Look, it's just trying, you know. It's just trying. Yeah. I had a thought about the Strange Addiction shows. If you watch those shows and you don't have the part where you have empathy with them, mm-hmm. think about that. If someone is trying to tell you something that is out of the norm. We tend to go to the obvious ones that, you know, it's that I'm gay. That tends to be something that you have to go to somebody with. But there's other things. Maybe it's something you did or someone. So if you're sitting in a room and you're watching five people and you're not judging them, but they're all looking at something basically that they don't understand, someone that eats foam, and all you're doing is making fun of them. I tell you one thing. Just the facts are. You can do whatever you want, but I always say do what you want. But what I'm saying is just the fact right now. Whether you choose to go to have to think you have to change your behavior because of it, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, it's a fact. They're not going to leave the room and go, you know what, I should tell them. They seem like the type of people that I would want to tell something that I'm scared shitless about. But imagine if you watch that with friends that were all going, making fun of it too. But also, three of them were going, spent 5 minutes going, man, that's got to be a hard life. Really? And then
for sure. I think
be careful with the way you make fun of shit in front of people, because maybe they have something. Not that you have to be phony or fake, but it shouldn't be phony or fake. Phony or fake means you're doing it forced, but it doesn't come from your heart. It's not phony or fake if you really feel it.
Yeah.
You're not stepping on eggshells. You think you're stepping on eggshells because you don't stop this behavior from your heart. So the rest of your life, if it stops from your heart, it just stops from your heart. You're not mad you stopped. You're not mad you stop. You stop because you realize it was wrong. But if you're just stopping because you have to, you're walking on eggshells all the time. And yes, that sucks. But that's not the way other people get that stuff out of the vocabulary. They stop from their heart. And that doesn't hurt. And that doesn't suck to do it that way.
One of the really interesting things about being a performer who speaks their mind for a living is that inevitably, no matter how progressive you are, you're going to say some shit early on that you will definitely regret later, and that means you're doing something right. It means you're evolving. But literally, if you are interesting at all as a performer, if you're interesting and willing to take chances or transgressive at all, you're going to say some fucked up shit that you're like, fuck, I wish I said that. But that's okay. It's about learning. It's about growing. That's one of the best parts about being a performer is you get a chance to evolve more than the average person because you're confronted with yourself way more than a person who's a lawyer who doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm. You're not thinking about yourself all the time. And the other thing I wanted to say is that the main thing people are going to feel really shitty about is the way they talk about trans people. That's the main thing in 20 years. Yeah. The word tranny is a slur, and nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows that tranny's a slur. That's going to look horrific in 20 years.
Yeah,
that's the main thing,
Jake. That's all I've been talking about.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah, you're the main anti-trans person I know. You know what I mean? Well, you're just saying crazy shit all the time.
I'm obsessed with it because I can't watch it when I know. Like I said, I'm going to repeat what I just said a second ago. Like, we cure diseases because we focus in on something, and sometimes you're wrong and you don't cure diseases. But sometimes they focus in on these weird 3 things or 10 things that come together and make this fucking cure something because it was very specific. And I feel I've done that socially. And with the trans people, like, why? Like, and I'm telling you, it's because they're not stopping their behavior because of fixing what makes them judge every time. Each time they just get exhausted and they give up. So then when trans people, instead of now going, no, I've made this mistake by judging 3 other groups. I don't judge any, you know, and they don't. Now it's all, oh, and I got to be nice to them too.
Yeah, they're
give
not
me
ready.
Time.
Like,
you don't want
ready,
time. Man. That's a full, yeah. You know what I love? If somebody goes, I don't like trans people, grosses me out. I don't like gay people, fucking grosses me out. You know why? Because they're being honest with you. But when they always try to find something, because they can't say that, they can't say it grosses me out, so they try to find something else about it. Like, I don't know, you think it's because of, Caitlyn Jenner, you think it's just for the PR? Okay. Talk about someone that's going through it in Florida that works at a fucking supermarket. What about them? You want to have a serious conversation about them? We got the other part out of the way. That's not real, the problem.
Well,
that
the
you
other
have.
Go-to is the cutting the dick off. That's like the joke that everybody seems to use.
Oh,
like, I don't
can you
cut
imagine?
My,
you don't cut the dick off. Yeah. Shut up!
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Yeah, it's also like, if they thought about it for a second, like, you just, all you have to do is just think about it for a minute, what this person is going through. Like, they're willing to, like, in order to be who they want to be and who they feel they are going to face all of society calling them all of the names in the world and live a worse life than, just a straight person. They're going to live a worse life because they're going to face derision all the time. Why would you do that if you didn't feel you had to? It is if you thought about it for a minute, most of these people just don't. They just don't think about it. They're not told to think about it.
And you know, sometimes it's what I call the 90%ers, the people that are – they're pretty evolved. You can't write them off. But to me, why can't they use a little bit of their own litmus test in themselves and go, you should be sitting in a therapist's office and going, what is it with me? Like, it was gay marriage, and yeah, I got all right with that. Now, why every time there's something that I'm not used to, do I have to – like, when people go, give us time, we're getting time to learn how to get used to it. That's a bullshit argument again. You want time to make fun of it is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you give – let me tell you something. On a scale from 1 to 100, 100 wanting to know the most you can about transgender, 100% just means you're obsessed with learning about what they go through. If all you wanted to do is 10%. You'd fucking move and fly past some people.
Well,
they go, I don't want to learn anything. Just take your time. If you go baby steps, you know what? Eventually, the verbiage will come out right. All you have to do is give a little bit of a shit, and you'll slowly learn.
Yeah, and also, there's 2 things to it. One is, if we make everyone equal, then you can make fun of everyone, and it'll be a great world for comedy. You know what I mean? It'll be amazing. And the second thing is, I still think it's important to really, really hate on people with earlobe spacers. Like, I don't want to say that they're okay. You know what I mean? Like, just the white ones. You know what I mean? Who don't have any culture in it. Just fuck them. You know what I mean?
Can you do me a favor? Can you say that earlobe space? I'll edit this out. They'll never know. But I think we're going to come in with something really. Just say, hey, and don't.
Do you
forget.
Know on Twitter how many people are going to fucking scream at me at this, even though it's a joke? Like, they're going to be like, I have earlobe spacers, and I lived in Florida, and it was tough for me. It's like, no, fuck you. I go live in Florida with the idiots, you know?
Well, you know what? Don't edit anything out. Ba-da-da-da-da. It's a real show, of course. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show. 500 million downloads every 30 seconds, asshole. Our guest tonight is the outspoken Jake Weissman. I totally flip it around. And also Steve Fine Arts. Hold on, turn everything off.
Hold on, everything off.
What do you want to say, Steve? I want to give you a full microphone because you seemed to like before you were like.
No,
I just feel like
I don't. You know, I want you guys to talk, and I want
to. So why do you bring it up? Makes us uncomfortable. If you want us to talk,
you asked me what I wanted to say.
Well, I want to know. I want to make sure you felt happy and heard. You want to talk about the Showtime thing?
Oh no!
Why? Come on!
What are you talking?
Can I tell you something? I'll give you a compliment. Obviously, yeah, the stand-up has to be good to make something good, but it sure can go down some avenues and fuck it up. So the stand-up's good, hopefully. That's the only part I deliver. And then you hopefully that you made – that's my favorite set that I've ever done on television.
Yeah,
it really is.
Steve is excellent at directing and especially making stand-up look good. Like Eddie's special is incredible. And you're like, oh, that. Why don't more specials look like that? He's actually really good at it. But Steve is too anxious to enjoy any skill he has. You know what I mean? He doesn't enjoy how good he is at stuff. He's just like, am I good enough? And I'm like, yeah, you're great. But he's just like, oh, I'm going to die. You know?
He's right. He's actually right.
I know. We G-chat constantly.
All we talk about is that.
It's like our G-chats are like, I'm going to die. No, I'm going to die. Yeah, no, I'm going to die.
I'm going to die.
Yeah, you don't want to see those.
Oh, no. Hold on. I got an idea. Do you mind if I do a commercial?
I don't mind at all. And I'm sorry if I overrode you there, Steve. Now I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling guilty that I'm talking over you. And
no, God.
Can we tell you something
on.
About Steve?
What? What do you got?
I'm going to say this from my heart. It's the light of my. You are one hell of a fucking nice guy. This song reminds me of you. Waking up every day, going over Eddie's house, and singing this to him naked while you try to blow him.
That's where you saw me and him. We made out in the improv.
Well, they made out in the men's room at the improv. Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All right, enough. Bring it down. Let it shine, shine, let it shine, but let it shine. Do you feel heard now?
I feel great. October 2nd.
Oh, yeah, the Showtime thing.
Showtime.
Plug it away.
South by Southwest comedy, Todd Glass.
You're so natural.
Todd
Even when
Glass.
You talk, it's like regular people
and
talk.
Wyatt Cenac. Come on.
Wyatt Cenac.
Todd Glass.
You left in the...
W come out, Bill. And all the Jew just all comes out of it. Rachel Feinstein.
Yeah, you sound. When you...
Wyatt
Cenac. No, I can't help it.
No, when you talk, you know what I hear? Like, I feel like this should be playing in the background. Like, just talk. Talk regularly. No, talk a little bit.
Oh, October 2nd, the South by Southwest comedy. Todd Glass. Wyatt Cenac. W come out, Bill. Best Stelling.
I bet when you have sex, does it feel like this song's playing in the background? I can just picture you half doing
sex.
It.
I've never had
he's
sex.
Like, he's talking, he's having sex. I don't want him to paint a picture here, but I picture you're having sex. You're having sex with Danielle, and you're like, you think the bitter Buddha will...
I only have sex standing
and you're
up.
Fucking
I only have sex standing up, by the way.
Yeah, and you're both that. You're both kissing each other a little bit. You're being passionate, but you whisper in her ear. You go, you thinking ruins will get in the store.
Steve only comes to the point in the Bitter Buddha when Eddie reunites with his father. That's the only time he can come.
It is a climax. It is the climax. You're right.
He's like, I got something.
Yeah. Thank God.
All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to go in for the close. What time is it? I don't usually ask.
8:48.
What?
8:48.
Yeah, we're going to go in. It takes about... Daniel Keno, I repeat this every time, but I have to. Daniel Keno says it takes me 40 minutes to put on the break. So when I go, we're going in for the close, that's 40 minutes. That means I still got some things. I got to do a commercial when we come back for a new sponsor. So, can I tell you something really quick? And I wish someone would send this into the people. Let me do this. Then we'll take a break. We'll go to the bathroom. We'll get some nice whatever. And then we'll come back and we'll take it home. Are you having a good time?
It's a fucking blast. This is like the only fun podcast in the world. There's no... Every podcast is so somber. It's like, what happened to you as a comic, as a kid? Shut up. Just
you know
fun.
What? You know what? Can you play his thing again for him? Because I think he deserves it. When you say nice things like that, I mean, what are you going to do? You give people...
WomenComedy.com. Jay.
We'll be back with a sponsor. We come back with an ad. That's the way we do. Most people leave. We'll take a break. We'll come back with an ad. It's, our ads are so good, we don't need to take a break for them. We'll be back. You know what? Bring that real soft in the background, Jake. You know, Jake wasn't lying. I have these mug root beers. I'm to George Carlin. I mean everything I'm saying. Look, people go, are they a sponsor of the show? To George Carlin, they're not. But I've mentioned it before. I'm going to say it again. I would like to sponsor something that when people go buy it, they're not mad at me or disappointed that I bullshitted them. And let me tell you something. If you go buy a mug root beer and you drink it, it's liquid candy. It's got like some kick in it. You know what I mean? It's got like some kick in it. It's got some, like, it's just, yes, it gives you some, It's like you, it makes your whole mouth, it's liquid candy. It's liquid candy. Like, let me take a sip. It's like, shut the fuck up good. I mean, you can't say any more about a product. It's shut the fuck up good. No, you're not going to go buy a mug root beer and drink it and go, it's good, but no, you're going to go, it's that good. Now, let me tell you something. For adult beverages, Jack and root beer, you can't do better than it. It's such a refreshing. It's like gives you the little, you know, the little vacation you need. You, hey, by the way, this is only for the adult people that are adults, but Jack and root beer, it's good. Matter of fact, you put a root beer barrel in there, shut the, right? Huh? I know what I'm talking about. And a root beer float. Let's talk about it. A lot of people go, oh, well, vanilla ice cream and root beer. And you go, why aren't you giving the vanilla ice cream all the credit? Go have vanilla ice cream and talk to us on Monday. Go have a big scoop of vanilla ice cream. And then, okay, and then you pour the root beer over the vanilla ice cream. Yeah, it's the root beer making it what it is. The root beer float didn't get famous because of the vanilla ice cream. If anything, the vanilla ice cream should be like, thank you for even including me. You probably could have done it with coffee ice cream. It would have been okay. But it's the root beer. It's like a thunderstorm in my mouth every time I drink this. It's like a thunderstorm in my mouth. And that's not a sound effect. It's like, wow, it's got some kick in it. Every time I drink it, let me just drink it and don't play a sound effect. Do not play a sound effect. I'm going to drink it. God. It's just that good. It's that good. Mug root beer. You're not going to be disappointed when you go in your store and buy it. You're not. You're going to drink it, and the minute it hits your mouth, that cold root beer, you're going to be like, yeah. Ah, give me some mug root beer. Ah, I love it.
Root beer.
We'll be back.
Root beer.
I love root beer. Give me some root beer.
Root beer.
What you got? Do you have what type of sodas do you have?
Root beer.
All right, we're done. So that's that. How much do you think they pay for an ad like that? What about for that, that's $10,000 if you had a show, right? I mean, it should be. You know what the great part? When you do all that, you mean it. I really do. What's your cat's name?
Shiksa and Pebbles.
Disrespectful. I'm editing that out of the show. Pebbles. Why'd you name her Pebbles?
She came with the name Pebbles.
Why? Oh, did you tell me where you got her? Because I hope I'm not one of those bad interviewers. If I am,
no,
I apologize.
I got them at
Sante. Of course
Sante.
They didn't tell me. You think I'd forget?
Sante d'Or Animal Rescue in Los Feliz.
If you had an invention, and I move on, because well, I'm a good interviewer. You don't dabble. If you could, is there? By the way, the answer to this might be no, but I am curious. Do you have an invention? I'm going to ask both of you. Steve, you can go second so you have time to think because I see you're sweating already with your with your juice sweat over there. He's like, I hope my answer's good and it's entertaining to people. But do you – by the way, that's what's endearing about you, that you're a good person. I don't like to tease him past the point that I think I should. But do you have an invention, like something or a concept for a restaurant even? It could be like an invention or like if I had a restaurant, I would do this, or I'd have a bar, I would do this. Something that if you had like a lot of money, you'd want to – something you'd want to do. or invent or yeah, I guess
I think what I would do is it's a thing that happens in Japan. It happens in Japan, but they have cat cafes where you can go to like coffee shops and there's a bunch of cats. You can hang out with them. It's very soothing. So I would just bring that to Los Feliz. I think that'd be awesome. It'd be a hit. You would make
so
much
money. People can bring their cats?
No. There are tons of cats who are in a cafe and you can just go and hang out with the cats and you like, you know, drink some coffee and you're just hanging out with cats.
Don't they have one here now?
Do they?
I think so.
Well, I would burn that place down, and then I would and
start a new one,
and kill all the cats, and then I'd start my own. Because it's not about the cats; it's about me taking credit for it.
He'd burn the place down, everybody. Do you mind if I sing?
I would love if you sang to this.
Everybody knows it. I'm not even fucking around. This is embarrassing. We have a show to do. Don't. Seriously. You gotta fucking... God damn it. You can't just play... Now we can start our show. My name is Todd Glass. I grew up December 6th. I walked into the... That's all. That's all I got. I don't know what the fuck. I got bells, whistles, things. I got trumpets. Without the trumpets and the bells and the whistles, I'm afraid this show might not be doing so well. And I don't know how it's doing even at that, to be honest. Chris... Well, Chris Hardwick runs in. I'm tired of doing that bit. Listen. So, would you have a. You would. With the cats. Oh, back to that.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it would be a place where the cats would have to be friendly. They, you know. But they would probably be friendly because they'd be raised around people and the ones.
Yeah, good cats.
Well,
you just go
I like
and chill out.
Because let me tell you something.
Tell me.
If it could be like all cats like Hemingway, I would fucking go there every day.
Of course, it would calm you
I would
down.
Even if I would pay $20 just to go in there and,
imagine
and mush
just,
them.
Just smoking some weed and walking to a cat cafe, you hanging out, reading a book, on your computer, just like fucking drinking some coffee, and there's like a cat in your lap. Like that's all I want from life.
Let me tell you something. If it could be dogs, I would do it too. I am – ever since my friend told me and look – It's, it
oh,
so
your
easy.
Friend. Way to name drop. Okay. We get it. That's two friends you have. Two friends. Wow.
So many friends.
I'm in Hollywood. I'm famous.
Friendly.
I had a pilot.
He's really friendly. He's really
place
friendly.
And there's one friend, and then, there's not enough friends, so I go another place.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Todd Glass and his friend enter the room. Hello, everybody. Wow, I use that trumpet anytime I can get it. Hey, I want to talk about something that's very serious.
Right, wait, but, I had an idea. I had an idea for it.
So yours was that. I want to talk about that later, but we.
He directed one documentary. He wants to talk in a podcast. You know, I get it.
Oh, all right. I'm not going to go now.
No, I don't want to go.
No.
Steve,
no.
Everything you do,
I don't want to go.
If you couldn't be in better company, like everybody loves you. You know, you're a good person.
No.
That's why I don't.
Except for Danielle.
We're
working on
when
that.
I don't give a shit anymore. I'm tired of arguing. So, what's your idea?
All right.
I don't know what you do. You drive me nuts. I'm tired kissing your ass and making you feel good. How about once in a while throwing a compliment my way?
You're...
I don't need it to my face.
Oh, my God.
You're the best part of that set. Now I feel like you're just saying
all right,
it.
Todd had the best set of anybody on that South by Southwest
That's not
special.
To bring up necessarily.
By far. Better than W. Come out. Better
come
than
on,
Wyatt
stop,
Cenac.
Stop
better
it.
Than Rachel.
No, and I swear to God, stop it. I swear to God,
better.
Stop.
This is getting racist.
I want to talk to you. Do you want a dog?
No, I just want cats.
Really?
Here's why.
I recently met some dogs that I like, but I don't want to take care of something like a dog. One of the best parts about a cat is they shit on their own, they clean it up, you just have to fucking put it in the trash, it's fine. Like, I don't like walking anything. I like to be a derelict, and I don't, that's not really the right word, but I like to be an asshole, I like to do what the fuck I want. Cats take care of themselves, it's the best thing in the world.
No, you're right. You can, if in the event you had to go away for like, you know...
If you travel at all as a community, you just have someone come over and put some food in their bowl, it's easy, it's amazing.
By the way, do you leave a TV or a radio on lightly?
No.
You don't. Yeah. Why is that? Because I'm starting to think what I thought you should do, maybe it's not a good idea because they hear the sounds of life. They hear birds. They hear what. So they're not maybe boredish.
Why would they want a TV? They'd make them crazy.
I'll tell you why. First of all, I do think about it not too loud because I would think like, oh, can you imagine you're a dog stuck in a house or a cat? And it's. No, I put it so soft on the TV, but I do. But I'm starting to think.
I think cats are. You have to think of cats as always being on mushrooms. Like that's like they like
they don't need the TV.
Regular life for them is fucking crazy. You know, like they're like jungle animals that we've domesticated. So you can't like they're fine. Anything is fine. Crazy.
We had Hemingway. Me and my brother made up a cat that lived up the street because Hemingway would go outside and her name was Merryway and they dated Hemingway and Merryway.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Maria like Marielle like because that wasn't that the daughter who maybe killed herself or some shit like that. A lot of Hemingways kill themselves because they're so. Sad.
You know, don't be mean.
Wait, what were you going to invent?
I was going to invent a club where you can go and kill somebody however you like. You sign up and you can strangle them, you can murder them however you like.
That's like the movie Hostel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm creating. The movie Hostel.
No, by the way, how did this turn into a. It didn't have to be. It could be an invention, a flashlight with, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to put on.
No, I want to do a place where you can kill people.
Why can't you be serious?
I would bet that the porn that Steve watches is pretty intense. You know what I mean? I feel like he's so nice that you have to. If you have that, if you want to invent a place where you're murdering people and it's fun, you definitely watch like the craziest shit ever.
But you know,
you just would never tell anyone.
I've never come before.
This is disgusting. My show is taking a horrible turn. I don't know what could fix it. Sometimes
I'm
you just
kidding, Steve. Sorry.
Sometimes you need something so big to save it. Thank you. Thank you. Everything's fine. All right, listen. I got your song. I like that. That was empowering. Thank you for coming in on that. So what would you invent? Or you don't have to have something. I don't want the pressure. Well, I'm a good interviewer. No, people are afraid because I'm like a modern day somebody that used to interview people back in the day. I couldn't think of anybody. Jesus Christ, a fun bunch I got here. Thank God Jake Weissman's here. Otherwise, these fucking balooks aren't going to help me. Steve Feinhardt. Did you think I did it right? Could you mention the Showtime show? I noticed he kept his fucking name in there. And that wasn't an accident. That Showtime thing is good. You did a good job. I don't mean to make jokes because what you do, what you do,
stop.
What you do,
stop.
I will say it. I realize the person I am. I will always win in that bit because I will keep saying it. He couldn't outstop me. But I do want to say it that what you do for the kids. No. Well, it's nice what you do. You give back. You grew up in a thing. Background noise. Hope no one's paying attention. Listen. So the invention thing, I don't even want to do anymore. What's your name again, sir?
Steve Feinhardt.
No, seriously, no bullshit. What's your name? And don't say Johnny Rocket Seed.
Oh, right.
That's my name.
Oh, okay. Well, I do believe. What's your name?
Frank Turner.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. What's your friend's name right over here? What's his name?
Jonathan Brinkle.
If you're not bullshitting and you're coming across the border, you're with people, you know their name. What's his name right over there?
Steven Heimlich.
Okay, listen. I'm telling you right now, you will get something bad will happen. What is his name? And not his real name. You're trying to get through the border. It's not cute. Now, what the fuck is his name?
Rory Scovel.
Okay, you're right. He might get away with it if he doesn't know a lot about comedy. But if he's one of these guys at the border that knows that niche, new, funny group of younger comedians that are coming along, he could be like, Rory Scovel. You mean who came out of D.C.? You know Rory Scovel. I know Rory Scovel. He does the bit about his grandmother. And then he plays it. He's like, oh, yeah, I have the bit right here. I listen to it all the time. And he plays his like little thing that plays music, and he's like, listen to it. There's his doing the bit about his grandmother right here.
You guys ever steal an old person? Oh, I guess everyone here has their grandparents. Some of us don't. We got to replace ours, okay? Here's a tip. Old people in wheelchairs rarely turn around to see who's pushing them. You're at the store, see a wheelchair. No one's stopping you. Hey, where are you going with that old person? That's never been said. That's the first time that's been said. Hey, where are you going with those old people? No one's asking that. No one cares. When old people are around, everybody's thought is, hey, get these old people out of here. Get them out of here. Okay, I'll help. Don't say anything. You get out to the parking lot. That's not our car. Get in! You're my grandmother now. Folks, find the positive. I have 7 grandmothers right now. How great that is? 7 grandmothers? I love the one grandmother. Her love is so strong. Try 7. I'm leaving in the morning. Make an announcement. Hey, I'll be home at 3. Everybody bakes cookies. Everybody. We'll see who did the best.
That, listen to it every day. So you come in here, you tell me you're Rory Scovel. You ain't no Rory Scovel. You're going to go to prison for the rest of your life. And I don't make that other joke anymore. All right, because it's not funny. Listen, your name. What's your name, seriously?
Oh, it's Barack Tomato. I mean, I feel like, because the thing is, Barack does get, Barack is now a name. You can't fuck with it. You can't say it's not a real name because that's racist now. So it's Barack Tomato is getting me through any border in this fucking world.
Evan's mom
Wait,
won't.
What's his name?
That's true.
Come
on. My name?
Fred Banstein.
Well, I was talking to Todd. Todd, quick, what's his name?
Fred Banstein. He just said it. I stole it. Technically, I was right, because you did say your name was Fred Banstein. Yeah, right.
What's his name over there?
Johnny Appleseed. I'm not kidding. It's not that I know that doesn't... I know
that's
it's
wrong.
That's
a stock one. That's a good...
The minute it comes out of my mouth, it's not like I'm thinking I'm going to argue it. Because sometimes I'll be like, Johnny Mashed Potatoes. Because those names come too quicker. Foods and things come too quicker than names. So you're always like... Freddie Brickwall. You know, whatever. Johnny Cement Pants. It's easier. Things come to you better than names. All right, listen. Yeah, good cop. That's a bit we
I wonder what
do.
The world record is for that, for making up fake names, you know, just as fast as you can.
4. No, I read it.
Where'd you read it?
I can't. Evan's mom called. Evan said his mom won't let him off the phone. And I do get that. I'm not going to say who it is in my family, but it's not my mom. I will say that. But it's hard to get him off the phone. Like, and by the way, it's not in my immediate family, but hold on. I want to see Evan that so Evan knows I know what he's talking about. Be like...
Let me get my phone on. Can you use your phone?
I'm trying to find... Hello. Hello. Don't look so sad. I know it's over, but life goes on.
This is going to be great.
And this old world will keep on turning. Let's just be glad we had some time to spend. There's no need to watch the bridges burn. Okay, is this the phone? What was that? How come I'm not involved in what's going on funny in the bathroom? I'm trying to get my phone voice, and I'm getting very pissed off when I can't find it. I'm not going to lie. Jesus Christ. You saved it. Look at you over there. Hold on, I'll find it. God damn it, it's not even worth it. But I won't stop the show.
I would rather just
go through every one. Hello? Hello?
God damn it.
I'm leaving all this in. If I make you sit through it, then they should sit through it. I don't think it's in here. This is the most I've ever made anybody wait. I don't want to do the bit anymore. Okay, I'm tired. I got tired. I'm so sorry. You know what? No, I can do it. Hold on. You want to be the person that won't let me off the phone?
Yeah, sure.
It sounds good already. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
What's so funny? Seriously, I don't want to be like a guy that. What happened?
Just after all that, the aureole.
Oh yeah, after all that, I put my hand on my nose. But now you got me thinking maybe I can find it again. Hold on, just bear with me. You know Aristotle, if you were professional, you'd be over here getting it for me. But you don't care anymore. Thank you. At least I got someone laughing at me. By the way, all I'm doing is flicking through my display of all my. Oh, here we go. Oh. No.
Hello? Jesus Christ.
What's Todd? Yes.
Hey, it's so nice to talk to you on the phone.
Oh, who's going to be getting off? You want to be the person trying to get off the phone, or you
want
to be.
Get off the phone.
Okay. Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy. How you been? How's that podcast?
Pretty good. Listen,
Todd,
I just
if you get
to
off the phone, I'll kill myself.
Mike.
Well,
I'm listen, and literally, like, my life's going well, but and things are finally. I'm selling some stuff, and it's going well. But I will say this: the only thing keeping me alive is the fact that you're still on the phone. Well, my mom died. My dad died. My sisters died. My cat's drowned. If you get off the phone, I'll kill myself immediately, and I'll be like, Todd did it.
I'll try to do what's right for you. I'll try to make.
No reason to kill yourself because I'll tell you this. Life is an obstacle course, and that's all I got. That's all I got. I'm so close. Didn't once again I get everybody excited? Why aren't you like,
oh my God, Todd might pull this off. You might. Now listen.
Let me tell you something. Anyway, listen, I'm going to try to. I'm not hanging up on that person. Making somebody just annoying. They won't let you try to get off the phone. I'll be
okay.
Evan's mom. I think Evan wrote this email about his mom. Evan's mom. No, that's her real name. Her last name is Lisa Mom. Okay. Hey, all right, Mom. Well, listen, it was good talking to you. I just got to go. I try to make the voice fun. You're keeping. You have to go. No. Oh, I have to go? Yeah, I have to go. You're not letting me go. You're not letting me go. You have to go. Okay. I have to go. Okay. You're not letting me go. You're his mom. You're the mom in the bit. I thought we were doing the opposite. I know. Because I already did the suicide thing. I can't top that shit. Oh, well. I'll do it. I'll try another thing. Okay. Okay, let me do it. I won't let you. You try to go. Okay. And I'll be the one. And I'm Evan, right? Yeah, you're Evan. I'm his mom. Okay, just got to get into the Evan space. Okay. Oh, Mom. Well, super great to talk to you. I, I don't call enough, but I gotta go. I gotta go do some coke. How's school? Okay. Well, I want to go do coke. Well, I'll let you go. I know when you want to do your coke, you want to do your coke. Yeah, and the thing is, you're not even really my birth mom. You adopted me when I was 12, and then you hit me repeatedly. No, I didn't. There's no bit where we hit. Even in a bit, I won't hit in a bit. That's how strict I am about my
abuse. Even in a bit. No hitting in bits. Shooting a gun, which we haven't
done in a while either. All right, well, yeah, no, you didn't hit me. I was just joking about that. You know that.
I know.
You were there my whole childhood. I know. I don't know what voice to do. This whole bit is.
It's
you know what?
Yeah, we run, should've. Run, run, wow. Run from the bit. Run, 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 run from the bit.
Run from the bit. Run away from me. Run from the bit. Run from the bit. You got me running from the bit. Far away from me. Run from the bit. Run, run, run from the bit.
You are listening to the Todd
Glass Show, assholes. All right, listen, we got to go in for the close. It goes so quick.
So fun.
What were we talking about? I don't want to talk about the podcast festival we'll talk about in the opening, because that's going to be sick fun this Sunday.
Mm. Oh,
this
yes.
This Sunday.
That's true.
But there was something else you wanted to talk about.
I don't have anything. I think you already said Matt Bronger's special comes out today. Matt Bronger.
Is that true?
Dumb Animal. Netflix.
Oh, hell yeah.
Comes out today. I
direct Matt Bronger special comes out today?
Yes.
Friday.
Friday. On
that's
Netflix.
Awesome.
Yes. It was on Comedy Central.
You know what?
Now
you should watch it. You know how sometimes you can just smell someone's comedy from a distance, but you know it's good? You're like, you don't get to see him, but one time you're in the room and you catch 3 minutes, but in that 3 minutes you're like, he's probably doing something really great and different. That's how I felt. And then in Montreal I got to watch a little more of him, and
He's so funny.
A super nice guy, too. Right?
He's great comic, great guy.
Well, you know, hey, come on. Let's not promote him too much. He's only got a special coming out.
You know what? Why not? He's the perfect. I'm going to give him a compliment.
Matt's the funniest and the nicest guy. Yeah, he's so fucking funny.
What other energy would you want to be around? But besides somebody like that, like the minute you're around them, the minute you have any interaction, who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
Just not over. It's not like it's over. It's just perfect. Yeah. Easy to be around.
Pure joy.
Yeah, just seems to be even tempered, loving, mm-hmm. just a good energy. Yeah, yeah.
He also commits. Like, he's a performer. He doesn't just tell mm-hmm. jokes. He really performs, and I think that's pretty rare, actually. Yes. I think it's that should happen more. It shouldn't just be smart people saying things they wrote. He really goes for it, which I think is awesome. Yeah,
and it makes you tap into what you think, to what's creative in you. When you see someone else do it at their best, you're like, makes me want to be a better comic.
Yeah,
that's the type of comedy mm-hmm. I like to watch. Eddie Pepitone. All right, what do we do? We're going for the close.
Eddie Pepitone? Is he going to be on the show soon, I heard?
Eddie Pepitone's going to be on the show in the podcast festival.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Jesus. Oh, excuse my language. I've been cursing less. You notice this show? I've only cursed one time. I think it's funny because I know my problem. Good cop. Is there something there, like the cops, because they're really trying to fix their image because of, you know, things aren't, you know, they need to fix their image. They need to work on it.
Yeah.
That they're out there on patrol playing good cop. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to just try mm-hmm. to out. You know what? I don't want to do the bit.
You don't?
No. I did for
a second. I was ready.
I know, but then I got tired of it.
Run, 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 run from the bit. Run, 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 run from
run
the bit.
From the bit.
That's right. That's the way you fucking do it. The trumpet comes in. Everything's all right. Listen, I want to talk this root beer. By the way, it doesn't get – it keeps getting better. I think
it's a mug?
Wow, mug root beer. God, that's good. I love it. Oh, you don't know what it's like to have flavor. You talk about flavor. You talk about flavor. Hold on, let me take a sip. And do not play a sound effect. Just that's root beer splashing over my mouth. Do you? Hey, it's Disneyland for your mouth. It's Disneyland for your mouth. It puts a little kick in it. God, I'm kicking it. Puts a little kick in it. You're going to love Mug Root Beer. Guess what? Mug Root Beer is going to love you.
Root Beer.
That's right, baby. That's a sponsor. If they don't come after me, you don't think, what is it like? Because then they're making a mistake, these Mug Root. They need me. They need
Root Beer.
I need them and they need me. No one's ever believed in a product like I believe. This root beer, people go, all right, Todd, relax. Yeah, really? It's liquid candy and it is quenching your thirst.
Ring, 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 calling Todd. Ring, ring, ring. Ring, 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 calling Todd.
Hello.
Todd?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Mug Root Beer. Now, let me say this. It's not a patriarchal thing. Mrs. Mug Root Beer, who invented Mug Root Beer, died. And it's just, I'm the guy that took up the slack. I want to say that.
Oh, did you hear me talk about the root beer on your podcast?
No. What I was going to say is I'd never.
Don't say anything bad because I'll edit it out.
No. We weren't a company until you started talking about us. You're the best thing that ever happened to us. What you have said on your podcast about our company has made us go global. Thank you so much. I love you so much.
Thank you.
You should curse more on your podcast. Also, there's weirdly, I'm super atheist, so there's no God. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We gotta go. Thank you very much. There he is, the owner of Mug Root Beer, everybody, with quite a bit he was doing. I try to use service. Okay.
Root Beer.
I lost my virginity.
Okay, listen, I got to make sure I do everything. It's not like these other shows. They don't give a shit. No, they don't care. They're like, okay, we're done. Time's up.
No, I got every post that I got to get to. This is just, want to see something amazing. Watch how I bring it all together. Everybody, look at this. Here we go. I was hoping
he just waved his arms at everybody.
I'm just waving my arms. Well, everybody did a good job. You got the things. Now let's do it again. We'll end it with trumpet. So I just, it's something, there's something glorious about just going, you know what this room needs? That's a spicy root beer. Well, we might have stole some of that jingle. All right, listen. Here's you might get the meatball company calling us. I want to say goodbye to everybody. There you go. The owners are down. Oh, what do they think when they hear this show? Whenever I see them downstairs, I think, what do they think we're doing up here? What do they think?
Dude, so funny.
Look at them down there. It's just so funny. I get nervous. I'm like a little kid. Whenever I see them, and by the way, for the people listening, the owner of the place is downstairs walking outside, and whenever I see him, I'm always like a little kid. I'm like, oh, are we too loud? Are we doing something wrong?
What do they think we do? What do you think they think we do, Todd?
I tell them I sell Herbalife.
After the show, I think after the show they think we all jack off together.
Hey, that's your mouth. Seriously, you know my mom listens to the show. No, I mean my mom.
I thought you were going to say
my mom.
Your mom. I thought you were going to say
my mom. Don't want to hear.
I thought you were going to say, "Be careful." You know my mom jacks off.
You know my mom. Okay, here's what I'd like to close. Let's close. I know how we're going to close. Can I talk about one more thing? I'm losing my voice, and I don't know how. Just, I'll feel fulfilled if we do this, and I know exactly how we're closing. So give me 1 minute. There's this thing that I saw on Shark Tank. And it is from the people that invented guitar. We'll get the name of it. What's it called?
Singtrex.
Singtrex?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Singtrex.
Well, to George Carlin, it's just in one show, two things that I actually do believe passionately about. I want to get one of these things. So it is like you can get it for your house. It's just go online. You know what? It's a harmonizer times everything. Like, you can make your voice, it harmonizes your voice, or you can do one thing, it gives it a guitar effect, so you can just go, but it sounds like a fucking guitar. And they had it on Shark Tank, and they were talking about it. Then I went online and Googled it, and what's it called again?
Singtrex.
Singtrex. Maybe they could sponsor the show. I really do. It's like crazy. You can have one at your house. I don't know what it costs, but I bet if you ever have anything set up at home with karaoke, you need this. It looks like it's so simple to hook up, but someone can go up and you can have one mic where they're doing the guitar, the other mic they can put harmony in their voice or echo in their voice, and you think, oh yeah, that's what I have here at the studio. No, it's better. It's this time times 100. All right, now listen, Singtrex. Just go online. You're gonna read about it. You're gonna go, shit, I gotta get one of these things. So listen, here's the best way. We're going to end the show in a second here, but oh, you have a podcast, don't you? What do you have? What did you just say? He said you have
sketch group.
A sketch group, and they're called
Women Comedy.
They're on ifc.com. Women Comedy. They're
Women Comedy, and where's your show?
What show?
Oh, it's on IFC.
It's ifc.com. I'm trying to get a TV show, so you know, I can. Have too much money to talk to people. You know what I mean? I don't, I'm trying to get there.
And it's called. Say it again.
Women Comedy.
It's called Women Comedy, and we have a website, womencomedy.com, and we also have sketches on ifc.com. Very easy to find.
Cool.
It's like Alan Strickland Williams, Dave Ross, and Pat Bishop. Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Really?
Bunch of white guys who appropriated the name women, and women don't like that. And I understand it. I'm sorry.
No. No one cares, right?
People care because people care about everything for no reason now. It has nothing to do with women. We just thought it'd be funny.
But I thought we thought the opposite of that.
Everything's a nightmare.
Everything.
That was from Mr. Mug Root Beer. That was everything's a nightmare. There's no God. Drink my root beer. I love Todd Glass.
Let me tell you something.
we could end a lot of the problems with Mug Root Beer. Well, no, because, you know, it just says, I think what it's basically saying is it doesn't cost a lot to give your mouth some happiness. You know, you don't have to have $1 million.
That's a great catchphrase, actually.
Well, because I'll tell you what, sometimes you deserve in life, even if you don't have a lot of money, just put it in the freezer if you want for about 5 minutes, and it's just this cold, delicious, with little root beer ice chips floating around. And so anyway, here's the way. So that's your. Is there anything else? And is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I'm not affiliated with this at all.
Put your sleeves down. What are we pouring? He's got a short sleeve shirt and he's like wrapping it up and making it like a tank top.
I have hair that goes all the way up to my shoulder.
What are you trying to do? People lose their appetite? It's bad enough.
Look great. You look great.
Thank you.
You take care of yourself.
Stop.
You could lose 75 pounds, but other than that.
We're not going into this.
I don't know why I'm looking at you for the laugh.
Listen. Carlin has a book out called Carlin Home Companion that came out this week. I'm not affiliated with it at all, but I've heard amazing things. That's all.
I saw the play.
Yes.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Yes.
It was really cool.
She's amazing. And the book's out this week. So
we made it out. I'll talk about that next week. She knows it. She doesn't tell anybody. All right, so listen. I'm exhausted.
Also, Earbuds is playing at the podcast festival.
Yes.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Tonight.
It's a lot of shit this week.
Earbuds, the documentary and podcast, which from what I've seen was put together like, you know, with a lot of artisticness. Like it's shot really cool. Along learning the story, it's visually very appealing. Someone was telling me a few things. You don't think I don't know some people?
If you're going to the podcast festival, isn't it? It's playing
Friday night,
and then also Sunday morning.
I guess
as
I'm a pivotal point in it or something. Yeah, I'm kidding. Shut up.
Todd, I heard you're going to go to the screening.
I am, and I'm going to wear a fake mustache so everybody recognizes me. I think I was honest. I'm going to wear a fake mustache and a funny hat because I wouldn't want anyone to make sure I'm not there. I'll be in the back.
Wow.
This is the pivotal point of the play, movie, whatever it is, book. What is it? And you hear Jake in the background. All right. How do you take a show like this home? Did you guys all really learn the song that I asked you to learn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got it? Oh, you did?
Yeah, we all
sent out the sheets.
Absolutely.
So. Oh, okay. So before it was like a joke? Because
we love joking with you as a group. Yeah, for sure. And we just, all we want to do is sing.
Okay. I'm losing my voice. You know it?
If I was a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. All day long I deedle, deedle, shop, deedle, deedle, pop, pop, pop.
Rich man,
I'm Jewish. My penis was destroyed by the doctor.
If I was a rich man, I'd eat a little, 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 ba 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 ba. You think we should give this show for free? Maybe I should not charge for this one. Good night, everybody. I'm going to let you have the last. No, no, Steve.
No, no.
Turn to music. What, Steve? How do you want to close the show? It's all you. Really? That's what you fucking do? You just ruined the ending of the show. No, I'm kidding. You know that, right? Did you stop it? I did.
I know.
You know it's good,
right?
Yeah,
of course.
Seriously. You think it's okay to end it then?
Oh, stop it.
Did you think it was a good show?
6 out of 10.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.